Open with a quick word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather here this morning. I pray that you would bless the person here. Help us with these meetings. Help us, people, Lord, let us never forget you. Quick roll call. Lee, Bob, Larry Bear, your first name?
Cyril.
Candy?
Bob Allen.
Bob? Hello, Bob. I didn't get to say hello to you. Jody?
Joe.
Shauna?
Dale.
Linda?
You passed the test. You passed the test.
Hey, lucky I'm here today. Believe me. This one's going to happen. Okay. Hopefully this isn't as difficult as what it has been going around, but the December 9th minutes?
I'd like to make a change. That should be December 14th, and we had not approved November 14th. 9th. That was the 2 days.
Yeah.
We met in December 14th.
Yep. Thank you for pointing that out.
I don't know what communication error there is or whatever, but I sent the corrections after she sent them out about a week later. I sent them out the first time. And then she sent the final ones out this last week, and they were the same as they were the first time it was correction. So I emailed back and saying there wasn't corrections. This is not the corrected version. This is the version we have again today. It's the non-corrected version. So we don't have a copy, except for my copy that I brought, of the corrected minute. So we can't approve them or November now, today.
Okay.
Because November's were based on December, adding all the all extra information.
Got one on roll call. Dave.
Okay. I have them.
You tell them. Good.
Did you
hear
them? Are we on? Did we get the secret?
Did you
say anything? I did not make an impression.
We can't do this every minute.
I'm so far from the whole thing, so I don't know where the corrections are because she made it.
I took yours and then I went back to the recorder and went through and added the stuff that wasn't on there that I thought was important.
Can I have my copy back?
And then will you email me and let me know that you did not get them to look for them?
About 16 years ago. Do you have any idea where they might be or anybody?
Well, they used to have the permanent office back in the beginning, and then they were transferred some, I guess, to the ranch. The original ones are still in your office.
Is there anything out at the ranch?
No, there's nothing. I think there was a big thing a few years ago, and we ended up taking a lot of things into town. I'm not sure if you ended up with them or if Barbara Button still has them.
Barbara Button has nothing. I've talked to her.
Okay.
She passed them back to Ben.
Okay. As far as those types of things that out of the ranch, at the time they felt it was unsecure out there. So we brought them in. Do you remember?
Well, I've seen this tripping around for quite a while. And I guess we did lost.
PCNRs and our governing documents, so we need to have a copy of those minutes to have that in there so we can reference it. And we asked about 2 years or 3 years ago if Dale, you'll bring those records in like one box at a time. Vance will scan all of our past records and put them in the computer so we have a hard copy of everything. He volunteered to do that. We should take him up on it. It's important that we keep that stuff good.
Yeah, that's,
and we don't run into the...
not costing the rank or anything.
Nice free service.
So are we able to look for it at least? You have? Can we get at least, is it 1997 or
what? Yeah,
Yeah. It's June 21st.
June 21st, 1997. Oddly enough, I was looking for a piece of sandpaper in my office, in my garage for something, and I ran into this amendment, and I said, what was that from? And I read it, and I go, holy cow. And that's the same one that Vance was looking for, and I just found this by accident.
And what is that?
Yeah, why don't you pass that? So just one of the things that were sent out in 1997?
Yeah, we throw nothing. We throw nothing.
I mean, I've got copies all the way back to 79, 79. I just did that scatter all over the house, the garage, and right.
Could we take a few minutes and scan these minutes, the changes, so that we can approve them together?
I don't know if the changes.
Well, you can see from that. Yeah, I know, but you can look at your original, correct?
Yeah.
And look at the one that John has. Yeah, this is the one Jody corrected.
You can need to keep that one. I got it in my computer.
Why don't you read it over and we'll pass it around so we can get those
in.
Well, it
takes more than that much time. You can just go back and see what you have. She made all conversations. Something that I really, you know what I'm saying? She put in all conversations. I might suggest, Jody wants to go back and do the minutes.
No, that's not the point.
Okay, all right. Well, we've got to come to some agreement on what we're expecting from the meeting. We can't fight over it. We can't do it. So what I suggest is do it the way you think is best. And
I can't know.
Send
it out. I don't read all
the
things
and
type everything
in the report. Right. And we'll continue to correct it, but let's not.
Well, we don't want to waste time here.
Okay, I need to comment on that one, though. So if we just let her do as we've been doing, we're going to get those kind of minutes, and that's going to put another job on me. I might as well be secretary. I don't want to be secretary because I have to go back and re-listen to that tape again, and I think we need to have more detail in that.
The only thing I can tell you, if anybody wants to do the minutes, they're welcome.
You
want
to do them. I'm happy for you to do them.
I'm sure you would be, but I don't want to. I have to do.
I suggest that we put her in as treasurer, you in as secretary, and solve the problem
now.
No. Well, we got to come to some kind of agreement on the minutes, and it's
I've got a suggestion on the minutes, making it easier for you or for all of us. I would say you have 5 pieces of paper, write on one building maintenance, second one roads, third one miscellaneous, the fourth one financial report, and then have them all out in front of you. And when we're talking about that subject, put your notes on that piece of paper. So therefore, when you write your notes, they'll all be categorized in the right spot, and it won't be any harder for you because it's writing is writing. Just put it on a separate piece of paper, and you won't have to separate them. Just a thought. You don't have to, obviously, but that way it would make it easier for you to keep them categorized.
Well, that would be a new way to do it.
You know, that would help, too, because we always bounce around between topics, and that would keep them
separate. Yeah, we bounce back and forth, and that's not your fault. It's our fault.
I just think that, I don't mean to pick on Sean, I just think that we need a little bit more Some of the conversations that we have are a little bit more detailed than what we're getting in the minutes, and I think we need to know the background to it and the details of it and how we came to that decision. And I think that's important. I didn't do word for word. I just got pulled out what I thought we missed that was important for future.
Well, we always have the audio to the back here, but it seems like the last three meetings, four meetings, we've been having the same thing. So maybe that would be something we could try.
Okay. I'm not going to say it, but I think it's down.
Can we get these approved in some kind of reasonable amount of time, the last month, like maybe in a couple of days?
Did anybody else not receive that correction paper that I sent for?
I got it.
But we need to make sure that they can read it so they can see whether they want to approve them or not, too.
I got the email.
You got the attached minutes with it?
But I'm not going to go back.
So how are we going to approve these?
That's why we have a note paper. And either you take notes or she take notes, however it ends up.
Or someone else takes notes, we pay somebody else to take notes, but that's what
Nancy's actually said that she would do it.
What was that?
Nancy said that she would be willing to take notes.
Well, that would help a lot. If both Shauna and her took notes, that would help. Mm-hmm.
But note taking isn't verbatim or abbreviated verbatim. That's the important point. And that's up to whoever's taking notes to determine, and if you're going to go through them, there's no point in.
That's up to all of us to determine.
I don't think that's correct.
Ultimately, we can't go through this every time where there's a discrepancy.
No.
And someone's going to go back through the audio and add, I'm not going to go back through.
Conference recording started.
It's a big job if you're going to go back to the audio every time.
All you have to do is go back and read the six pages and see if there's anything in there that's wrong. But like I said, I don't want to be responsible for doing that.
That would require me to go back and listen to 6 hours of the audio, which I'm not. So it's either up to you or her or Nancy or whoever it is, and that goes in the notes. If I have something that's important, I'm going to make sure that it's in the notes. Over my area, but I'm certainly not going to keep track of everyone else.
If a meeting is in progress and a president brings something to the subject, and then you put down the important things, I am not going to write down, nobody's going to write it down, because I'm not shorthand to write down every station of every single person that's talking.
You don't have to do that. If I do that,
so what happens is, that takes a long time. So I have to write the things that are the most important. And emotions that were on, and I'm trying to stick to the agenda in the order. You guys skip around. And you can pull up and then find that conversation. All I did other than sit down. It takes me 6 hours to do this one. Let alone you go through and you have to listen to it 6 hours. Let's try to write down everybody's conversation. There are things that I send it out. If you have things that you were missing, because most of this is things that you said, okay, these are things that you wanted to say, and these are word for word things. I think all that conversation is not absolutely necessary. Some of it maybe. Maybe there's some things that are missed, and I hope it. And I'm willing to do that.
Well, maybe with this idea, maybe that will help in getting it all organized so you don't have to stick around like that and save you some time.
Well, I think one thing that's going to help, if Nancy will take notes, you could put them together and something you miss. Chances of both of them missing it.
Right. I don't want to verbatim. I was just thinking if you had six papers, you could categorize, it would be easier for us to go over it.
Well, hopefully
you
can at
least.
Well,
he's going to
lead it from
30
to 70.
That's what you're saying.
I didn't use the agenda that you have. I
knew that
mine on the back, so I can
make
some pull back, but I like that idea. That's
really good. Just trying to simplify. Mm-hmm. Well, let's do our best. That's all we can do. Try to come to some agreement on this without having an argument or a fight.
Aren't the minutes supposed to reflect what was said and done in the meeting? And for those people, such as Dave that wasn't here in October, November, December, for him to be able to be updated as to what was going on, that information should be there. And if it were, and I tried to read through that, to be honest with you, the minute, Joe said this, Dale said this, Shauna said this, it's like, oh my gosh, what are we talking about? Most minutes are prepared the way Jody has done it in terms of this is the financial report, these are the roads, these are the cabins, and the information in here, rather than going down, she said, he said, he said, she said, I couldn't get any type of threading to go through
it. I like Joe's idea of having the five papers.
And to say, and someone's not here, either. Those people need to know what was discussed about the roads, what was discussed about the cabins. And I think that's, from my point of view, because I'm also on a board in Las Vegas, and it doesn't have to be verbatim what everyone said.
No.
It's what was covered, what we're talking
you want
about,
the
what we
the
know. And that's what
right.
anybody, association members, any board member that can't be here, would be able to know what happened. That's how I take my notes. I can take my notes and compare it to what was on there, too, and stuff was missing. And that cannot be done.
Yeah, it's kind of hard, and you know, when you're trying to listen to everything and write it, you know. You,
oh, I know, and it's very difficult, as she said, taking that audio. But I have to do that because sometimes I'm going, crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I understand that, but if, and I like Joe's idea, and that was all his,
yeah.
to put that information down, because I think it could categorize
and
it
I also
in
think
the
that,
topics that we're going, one, two, three, four.
I also think having Nancy interjecting in there, as she puts the notes together, if she misses something, you know, Nancy will have it or vice versa. So I think that would pretty good, pretty much take care of the problem.
Maybe something else we could do on that, when you do type them in, like, I don't know what corrections were put in, and it's hard, you said, to go back to my minutes to see what corrections were put in. Shall we do that in a different color from, like, whoever sends in corrections, put it in a different color so we know that that's been added, so we know the integrity of the first 7 minutes is still good. And then we have the additions on there in a different color.
Sounds like a plan.
We can only do the best we can.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys have done it, but taking notes are not an easy
job. It's not an easy job. That's why nobody wants it.
I've got to give credit to Sean for doing it. I mean, that's...
I don't want the job.
Holy
well, I've got a question. What does the state and the HOA require on it? Are we doing
just
it to qualify for them?
We have to take minutes. We have to be pretty accurate. I mean, there's always, I mean, you can go back through the last 20 years of minutes. So, again, we're trying to correct the past and do a little better job by, you know, getting everything in there, all the meat of the subjects, and not missing.
Well, you just spent 15 minutes on deciding how
well,
we're going to write
the minutes. That's why we started
how
this
write
the
minutes.
So, yeah. Let's move on.
I think it's interesting, maybe you want to have Nancy take notes or somebody else, and Jody giving you notes from the meeting that is what you're talking about. I don't understand why you would have somebody else do that besides
because I don't want to have to do it every time.
She doesn't want to do it.
You know, I'll go back and pick up the important things, but I let that just take a lot of my time too, and I've got finances to worry with.
Okay.
So I think whose job it is. But Shauna, I don't understand. This year, the minutes have seemed a bit been that way the last 3-4 months. But before that, they weren't like that. So you changed your style. Didn't she do the minutes last year?
Yeah.
She just gave them back.
Sure. You did it before. The last time, the way you did it before, we could read it. It was thorough. And then we just add little bits here and there, but you were more thorough then or something.
I changed it just that you're going back reading minutes. That's all.
No, I'm not going back reading. I'm just talking about history.
Let's move on. I think we come up with a plan to try to make this better.
Okay.
No. We're on, Jody.
Financial. This year, profit and loss budget versus actual report is up into the end of December. We ended up with about $3,000 left in the bank. $990 of that was left over from our budget, and so that will go into our into one of our savings accounts to be able to be used if necessary in the future. $990 something ended up with the solar budget. It was already in the other savings account and in the other account. We have two savings accounts. And each of those had about $1,000 in them. Capital improvement, thank you, there it is. Okay. In the capital improvement account.
and in the regular savings account. In the savings account, we have 1703.81. In the capital improvement account, we have $1,035. The 990 that's left over from this last year will go into the capital improvement account with a limit of $2,000 in there. So, these reports do not reflect the assessments that have come in before the end of the year. I put those in on January 1st because that way they will reflect on the budget for next year. So we have about, I should look it up, I don't have an exact amount for the last, but look, we have about $33,000 in the bank right now. Assessments. They're coming in well.
About 30, you said, of the new ones?
Mm-hmm. So we've got plenty to work with.
You have any more?
No, I'll cover mine in the next part of the commercial.
Anybody have anything to add? Bill?
Let me see just one thing. In the last year, we have spent many, many hours and emotions on following the budget. I have three items. The water budget, according to the reports, was only 72% used. The road budget was 130%, so it's 30% over the budget for last year. The fencing budget was 106%, so all the talk we've done this last year about terribly exceeding the budgets does not justify. And then I counted there are 17 items, Art, that deviated more from the budget over 130%. So I said, if the roads are out of line, it may come to 130%. With the water and fencing, which are really what I've been criticized for, there are 17 items that show over 130%. Nothing has been said much about the all the overages other than the attack that has been on water, roads, and fences. So I just thought that out as a financial information for the board to look at and consider as we talk about new budgets.
I think we went over all that last month, didn't
we? I appreciate those numbers. What he's got there going in certain areas, you know, you focus on certain areas and improvements on certain areas, it's what it's needed. And you look at, you know, 130% or 106% over, there's a lot of areas where we were under. But to look at the overall picture, you know, certain areas needed more focus. And that, you know, those numbers,
at some point, they ought to reflect the budget.
Right.
And also, most of those ones that we went over on purposely, we decided here to do that.
Right.
It was one of those things that needed to be done. We decided here in a meeting that we're going to send that money to that.
You know, and a lot of, you know, you go through the year and there's a lot of criticism in certain areas. And, you know, I've been criticized sometimes on, okay, I spent too much in tools. Well, you know, we spent too much in fence or we spent too much in road. Well, at the time, it was needed. And I don't think the criticism was very productive in a business sense.
I think Dale's point, I don't think that was criticism. It shows that we need to work on the budget a different, you know, different ratio on how much we're spending.
You budget a certain amount for a certain thing.
Yeah.
And you get into it, you know what, it's going to cost, you know, a little bit more than what we budgeted.
It's always more.
So we flex, we give here, we pay here.
Well, and the reason I put this, and I think all of you are aware that we have, in these 3 years, we have beaten to death over the last year, and in final summary, they're
not
in law.
But as we all know, the budget is a living document. It changes. It's just a plan to go by. So when things need to adjust, we adjust it. But when we do that, we make decisions on where it's coming from and how we're going to afford it. That's the whole thing. You were right last month. Like, it is an active document. We just keep changing as we go, as long as we're all on the same page to do that.
Like you were learning this week.
Unless we can predict what Mother Nature's going to do and what everything else is going to do in the coming year, it's just a suggested item we're trying to keep it in, but it changes. And one thing can happen that changes the whole budget.
Well, if we look at the last 5 years, and he's at 130% for the road this time, our budget needs to be reflected.
Right.
The new budget.
Normally, you're going to find different things. The computer that comes up and does the same thing. So, as long as you've got a budget and you're working with it, and you might have to say, okay, we haven't used this much in this call, we'll be able to accomplish the thing that needs to
move it over
in this call. And it doesn't stop you up.
Mm-hmm. I think the important thing is that we came out under budget. We have to make a loan in order to finish the year. We didn't have to borrow from 2014 to finish the year. We came out under budget, and that's really, I think, what it's about. Budget is guidelines.
Mm-hmm. I think we did a good job coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
I agree.
My point is that we've got hours and hours and hours and time on criticism. It ended up okay. So I'm against all the criticism.
Well,
let's say, hey, it's a good thought. Yeah. It's a good thought. Let's move on.
I don't know if you guys know, but I've been kind of sick under the weather.
We have been sick.
Came up with a pretty serious intestinal issue. Kind of put me down for a little while, but I've been productive. I've been working on the tool shed. I bought some shelves at a yard sale and kind of took a lot of, there was a collection of stuff in the tool shed, and I say stuff like wadded up boxes of, or boxes full of wadded up paper and this stuff. Anyways, just going through it and getting kind of organized to where anybody can go in there and say, you know what, this is where nails are, this is where screws are, this is where, but just trying to get it back to the way I had it before. Trying to just stay busy while I'm sick, but I've been on the phone with Kubota. I know there's been a huge issue with the tractor, and
three-way with
the I've been hammering them. They said that I didn't call them as soon as they got the tractor out of the ranch, and I did.
I did too.
They found a record of it. They told me that I never called them and told them there was an issue with the tractor, which I did, and they found a record. They told me that they set the clutch to spec, which they didn't. Took it up to Settlers Cove, and they tore it all apart, kind of. The front end's fine. There's a couple things with the transmission and some bearings, and found that the clutch was installed improperly. Well, being that it was past warranty, they said there's nothing they can do about it. But hammering them about, you know, I made a phone call and told you that it was wrong, and I think I spent probably 2 weeks on the phone almost every single day between Kubota in California, Kubota Ahern in St. George, and Sellers Cove, you know, taking pictures and documenting everything that's been taken apart and what's wrong. And it's obvious it was installed wrong. So
was that done by Ahern?
Originally it was, yeah.
They installed it wrong?
Yeah, so persistence has paid off. It's we've got $2,700 worth of part warranty now, which, you know, is well over warranty, but my persistence has kind of paid off.
Excellent job.
So,
I'm excited about it. We're still going to have a little bit of cost on labor and, you know, for the next year.
So does that mean we're going to be able to get the brush hog going?
Yeah. I'm itching right now. I mean, the snow is kind of all around it. It's like a big
good time. Sun's nice out there in the day.
Yeah. So, you know, being sick and being down, I'm still kind of being productive, which I'm excited. And doing a little bit of work on some cabinets. We found some great deals with some furniture. Some of the furniture is outdated and pretty dilapidated in some of the cabinets and some of the appliances. We found a stove for $100 to replace some of the 1968 stove that was in cabinet 6. Which the oven didn't work, so just upgrading some of these things. What else? The reunion. You guys have gotten emails about the reunion, and Nancy and I have been involved on it. originally. I kind of held Nancy on a pedestal, thinking that, hey, you know, she can take care of it because she's done it. Well, thinking back at our resources at the ranch, I don't think we're capable with the resources we have to fulfill the need of 200 to 400 people at the ranch without bringing in some kind of equipment. So, but with everything said, Nancy and I are 100% on board with whatever the ranch would like us to do, whatever the department would like us to do. And I think it's only fair being, you know, they're members of the ranch just like everybody else. We cater to everybody when they come to the ranch, regardless of who they are and their affiliation to the ranch, as long as they're members. So just one.
That shows good judgment on your part.
Nancy and I just wanted to make that note that, you know what, they're members of the ranch and we got to cater to everybody. So we're going to be 100% on board with whatever we can do to help out and make it a successful agreement. Art and I kind of drove around the ranch a little bit yesterday. You know, I've done on the winter time, I've done a lot of price checking on culverts, on cattle guards, on fence materials. You know, right now, if I had Kubota, I could be working on some projects. Right there around headquarters and outside headquarters. I did some price checking on some cattle guards. I don't know if you guys got the email. I think I sent it out to everybody. But I'd like to get with somebody, and this is the time to purchase that stuff, so it's there, ready to go come springtime. I think a lot of the work can be done March, April, May, you know, those few months prior to summertime really taking off. But, you know, I have a cattle guard that I want to pick up. It's $4,000.
Is it budgeted?
You know, we talked about it. We talked about it in the fencing, but, you know, now's the time to get all this stuff. There's a couple of culverts that I want to put going up towards Joe Jose's place in Crawford. You know, they have it sitting there ready to go. I think we're ahead of the game. So,
what do you want this culvert?
So, we talked about it last meeting.
Cowler is going to be on the south end of the meadow, which we've talked about, and it's already been approved. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, a reading of right? So, just getting approval to order these things and getting them there is kind of what I'm asking.
Would that kind of be more important there, or would it be at the ranch house to keep the cows from?
No. Right, at the south end of the meadow. We've talked about it. I had the map, and I said, hey, this is the line that we need to have 100%, which it's not.
This one will keep the cows out of the sun.
Ponds.
Yeah.
Cabins.
That's so it's been budgeted, and we approved it.
Just so you know, I'm not going to go buy a 4,000-watt cow there. I'm still looking. Yeah. You know, I bought that used one for $800. It ended up being about $1,600. But it's too small. So, you know, my thing is I'd like to do it right, do it once, and you know, this is a county-approved cattle guard.
Do they use Craigslist around here?
Yeah.
Why don't you put an ad in there?
I've looked around.
You put an ad in, we're looking for one.
Right. I've searched the whole West Coast. You know, I could put a in search of.
Yeah.
I can on there.
You get a lot of response out of it.
We did approve that in the budget, and that comes under the fencing materials and project and other livestock. And that note was made in there for that. We didn't have a dollar amount yet, but that was approved.
Can I interject something? All board members need to, it's come up before where the ranch manager, not specifically Paul, but they get criticized after 6 months of work. And when you go back and look at what was said to them, they don't have a direction, and if Joe's got something that he wants that's a pet thing, we all need to talk to either Linda or Paul, because Paul's going to do what we ask him to do. There is no question. He's our employee. There's not going to be any problems with that. We just need to put it down in writing, look, this is what we want. And I pretty much made it clear what some of the things I wanted. But that doesn't mean you have to do them. I mean, if there's some reason you can't, that's fine.
Well, and you know, with that said, you and I drove around yesterday and looking at public safety. The issue going up proper is a
yours is number one, and then the one over at Johnny Brown.
Johnny Brown is a public safety issue. You know, we don't want to get sued. So, you know, you come up with something, you know, which I didn't even think of.
Yeah.
I've known it's been there.
Correct.
But, you know, it is an issue.
Yeah, we had a good talk, but we need to put those two things on.
Well, I suggest that if any of us tell Paul or ask Paul to do something, I want to break the chain of command. So we do tell him because it's convenient, and we should tell him.
Yeah, yeah.
He should call Linda and tell Linda.
Yeah, to put her yeah, on yeah, list yeah, yeah. I think that's a fair way to go. You're going to be the liaison. You need to know what, and you might have a problem with it. You might say, hey, wait a minute, we were supposed to do this.
Even though we get a clear with Linda.
Yeah.
She's the charge.
We've given her that ability to be your go-between. But it's kind of crazy. If Dale's out there and there's something going on, Linda's in town, she's working, and, you know, Dale says, hey, this needs to be done. You have a brain. You know, you can tell whether it needs to be done or not.
So I bring this up.
I just like to know that.
Yeah, I bring this up. I bring all this stuff up because now's the time to get this stuff going.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be busy in the springtime brush hogging and you know, doing other things.
Well, the other good point about calling, if someone comes to you and wants you to do something, you let her know, and that way she can put it in line of the priority because there might be something else that's come up that you don't know about yet from one of the board members or somebody that's an emergency or needs right attended to right away. And that way when they say, no, make that number two or number three so you can do this first.
That'd be great.
Well, and conversations that we've had and, you know, between the three of us, between the board president and the liaison and the manager, I think we come to...
It's working.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's working.
Mm-hmm. It's a three-spoke wheel instead of...
But I think the fact is that we don't have enough involvement as a board. We can't criticize unless we literally put it down. You can say, you can criticize Paul or whoever the ranch manager is, but if you didn't come to them and say, hey, I need this done, or if you did, then we give them a pink slip. If you didn't do it, you sold it. So it's got to be up front with everybody, and I know Paul's willing to do whatever we ask him, and he has so far.
And lastly, I ordered the batteries. They were delivered, and they've been installed and exchanged, and...
I sent you one
for
a minute in your inbox.
The batteries have been installed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The cord has been exchanged.
Yeah. The cord has been exchanged.
Did you have any for that?
Yes, we did.
And you got another $400?
Yes. For what?
For the solar system.
The ranch solar system, right?
And yeah, the only issue I'm having is trying to get the trimetric to read the batteries, right?
Are they the high-capacity batteries?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, we budgeted. I forgot how much we budgeted, but I got them for $290 a piece delivered, which was, you know, $25 cheaper than what was projected.
Good job on that.
Yeah.
Money's money.
Did you hook that up this conference?
Yeah. And I ruined my pants.
And the only thing you said to me is like, hey, next Christmas, I want a real box.
A
real box.
Well, and I actually...
I'm just kidding. That was all me. That wasn't nothing to do with Paul.
I was diagnosed with diverticulitis. I was down for 4 days, and I was so bored. The batteries were there. I'm like, I got to get up and do this. And I got up.
Good job, Paul.
I kind of paid for it a little. I wasn't very smart.
You know, before, we're jumping around right here. We should.
The budget, I think, was short 45. I think we got emails that they were 55.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were like, I don't have that email here, but.
I think it was 49.
Somewhere between 45 and 49 now. 49? Was it, we were thinking it was going to be 54 and we got it at 49? Anyway, something like that.
And with the rebate,
the
batteries
will carry back on the rebate.
298,
please. The exchange for the core for the money you got for the
new garbage.
When you get down to yours, let's talk about the callback by you and see if we can't come to that window.
I think it didn't make sense to me either, but they bought it for the lead.
Yeah. I had a question for Paul. The last time we were here, you said that someone was going to allow you to use their brush hog, and you were going to borrow it and use that if ours was down or something.
Well,
it was bigger.
In the spring, I've already got it. I don't know if we're going to rent it or if they're just going to allow it for us, but a 15-foot brush hog is three times the size of the brush hog we have. I'm kind of excited about that.
So, cut the work in there.
Right. Okay, that's not the spring, though.
Not the spring. I actually asked if I can use it now, but I don't have a tractor now.
Dale and I were talking, and we're getting off track, but Joe can handle it when we get down to his area of responsibility. But one of the things that Dale and I were talking about is we've got all these fences that need to be fixed, and this is a great time to run a chainsaw. Go out, get your posts, cut firewood. You know, we got a lot of stuff on Meadow Canyon there. We talked about it earlier yesterday. It'd be nice to get some wood, you know, going and get the posts done. This is perfect time of year for doing that.
Yeah.
So, this whole week is supposed to be good weather.
Yeah, so that's a priority for me only because it's not going to be in the middle of July when you're, you know, sweating and having to knock the flies off and the bugs and everything else. So I think this is a good time of year for that.
Well, that's why I wondered if you could, for instance, stop 200 to your posts and 10 cords of wood. And one of the best times to brush hog is when the ground is frozen.
Yeah.
There's not much snow out there right now. The ground is frozen. Tractor will not make ruts. And you can do a lot of mowing immediately in a heated cow.
I think he'd be out there doing it today if he had the tractor.
So that's the time for there. It's easy to say, well, we're waiting until July. If I make it.
You want to put that on the top 10 list? Put that on the top 10 list?
Mm-hmm. I think you know what, of course, put it on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's the stuff that needs to get done for the summer when he gets working. He's not going to have the time to go out cutting or brush hogging come July.
So can I talk about that top 10 list for a second?
Sure.
The top 10 list, when we make the top 10 list at the meeting, we add things to it. You keep a track of the top 10 list, so at the end of the month, like for next month, do we get a checked off list? I think we talked about it before, but I don't know if we did it. Do we get a checked off list that says what ones have been done?
Yeah.
So we can take your reports that you send to Linda and then make off a check off list.
Right.
Okay. That would be helpful.
We can make, or you are making them.
I have done them in the past. We can do one for December, but we will be for January.
There's been, you know, the daily reports and then the monthly report with, you know, in the beginning, it was, you know, with the carriers, there's still a lot of things like the laundry shed still on. But whatever we're going to do with the laundry shed, you know, there was, it's been said, we're not putting another dime into it, so. But still on the top 10 list. You know, I did some dirt work and I did a rain gutter.
Yeah, the one that should have some good interest on that one. So.
So, you know, some of those things are still on that list, but it's been worked on. So, you know, it's something for you guys to look at.
Stuff like that, we behind the scenes can make decisions. Right. It's not a big deal. I don't think it is anyway. It needs to be dealt with at some point.
Well, you know, and brush hogging is on that list.
Yep.
The coal road is on that list, which you and I talked about.
Yep.
It needs to be done, but, you know, should it be on the top 10 or should it be on the top 25 to work on?
As we get into the summer, the priority is going to go up.
Right. It's just a list of stuff that's out there that you guys can say, hey, you know, we've been working on this. I can report back to you guys telling you that, you know, this has been, you know, progress is being made on these issues.
So let's, as a board, keep Paul going, busy.
Okay, two items. Do you want him to take all that little group of trees along Broad Hollow that impacts the snow on the road? If all those were gone, he'd have a nice little bunch of wood there.
Yeah.
And everybody could see that he's taking all that little group of trees out. Now, on the brush hogging, underneath Lee Spring is an area that has not been brush hogged in 10 years. It's flat, usable, and it was seeded.
We talked about that.
I like to see that area.
Right.
Probably one of the first ones that you brush hog.
Good. We're all on the same page with that.
Art, I'm going to one thing. When you're talking the coal road, you're talking about the Johnny Brown Road.
Yeah.
I can say this for sure. If we don't do something with that road this spring, BLM is going to shut that road.
They're going to take it back from us.
Yes.
That, I agree with that. That's why I think it's a priority.
Right.
I wasn't on the board when it was made a priority, but we have to have more than one way out of there.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to have Clark Lamb out there, or if we can use Brent Stelzer, or what we can do.
Brent Stelzer won't do it.
Yeah. Well, they're saying to take the grader out there.
Destroy the grader.
Yeah, I've been out there. I don't.
You destroy it.
So we're going to have to
take a pretty good size dozer to do that road, to make it where it's an escape route,
right?
You know, I've tried to do it with...
After March, right?
Yeah.
You ain't coming up there today, I know that.
Hard to talk about that road and the other road. We've talked some about setting a priority as to where the road money was going to be spent. Is some of that going to be allocated to the half lots on the west side, or is all of it going to be spent on the east side?
So wait, do that one.
Yeah.
The
ranch reports.
Okay.
I don't know all these roads. I don't know where the toll road is.
Right.
Yeah.
I was out there in November, and it's rough.
Where is it located? I mean,
the Johnny Brown Road.
Yeah. Halfway up in Middle Canyon, you go up that first road on the right. Yeah. Yeah, it goes right straight over
there. Johnny Brown Road.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is the Johnny Brown Road.
No.
There's been a sign out there for 30 years. I'm sure they'll put it out there.
Art, when that's fixed in, there should be a couple of big culverts put in there.
Yes.
Heavy duty.
Yes.
Like the first time.
Yeah, we won't have to do it again.
That's right.
Yep.
So you come back to that on the road?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know what to say on some of the roads. I haven't been out there driven them. Quite a while, so can't happen now. So
we could have made it out to your place. We would beat the truck up doing it. We made it to First Hill there, and we decided now we don't want to walk home.
Well, we tend to need a culvert on that dike,
yeah,
for sure, and you need one someplace else.
Well, are we talking about roads now? Are we going to go back and finish that?
No, he's done.
He said he's done with you.
We're going to finance it on the road.
Well, we just continued the ranch manager's report with the road. I would like to see.
On my laptop, I do.
When I get it, it's not you.
Oh, yeah, I should have that.
Okay. All right. Touching base on the a couple of public safety issues, and I don't know, Dale could probably give us more input.
We need that. We need to finish the road by your road.
We got to do finance and then do roads.
We got quite a few little things here to do, and we need to move along.
Should we go in order?
I guess the public safety issues to me is the top priority. The one out by you, that the COVID out there by you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going into roads now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, we need to call it on. I guess it's on lot 109 is where it's at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roads is actually
number 8.
This is where
I'm
getting messed up. Yeah.
Don't show a rule.
Well, I'm just following
what I'm jumping. All that is what's the responsibility.
So this is
they're just doubled up?
So right now we're at Washington.
We're about to the culvert.
Okay.
I think
Washington
next one. This is just a list.
Okay. So yeah, that's what I did. I just started taking them off the...
Oh!
That's why we jumped the roads. Okay. I guess it really...
And we can jump to roads now if we want.
Let me just finish out the way we started. That way we're not going to waste any time.
His last statement was we need a culvert where?
109.
And the reason why that's, Joe, you can explain why that's very important.
Well, because there's a wash that goes right through there, and if this wash is completely out, the culvert that's in there is not large enough, and it's been crushed a lot of times. And we've had it opened up now, Paul opened it last year, but it's still not sufficient to prevent the wash over. And it just knocks that whole dike right out of the picture. And it gets so muddy because the water just sits in there and it can't drain properly. And it stays that way for almost a week or two.
You mentioned Phil Hall's place too, an escape route.
Well, that would be a back route out of Phil Hall, and he has all his people up there. if there was ever a fire going up the hill home place off of Meadow Canyon.
He has no way out.
And he has no way out except going all the way past my place and coming back out on the Johnny Brown Road, which is, you know, near lot, near the what do you call that, the Half Moon Reservoir. The road comes out of that general area. And that's the only way out of that whole area. Unless you go on the Johnny Brown Road and come out all over in Podunk. And I don't think that road's open most of the time. So it'd be best to open up the lot.
Bill, do you know where we're talking?
Yeah. Open up that lot 109 road a little better so he could get out.
Well, I think that that was our first.
Well, and, you know, and before we get out there with some equipment, I'd like to get with somebody because I have my ideas. I'd like to open the whole thing up back 100 feet and dig it out and channel the water to where we don't have the problem.
And you had said also to dig out that other side because that's what's happening. It's filling up with silt.
Yes.
And that's what's coming over also.
Right.
Because it used to be down, and now it's filled again.
You know, regardless, there's going to be some equipment time, and there's going to be, you know, one, if not two, cold.
The bank's only about 50, 70 yards long.
Yeah.
And it fills up on the first side on lot 108. I mean, I'm sorry, 110. And then it runs along the dike, and then overflows on 109. So the whole thing gets just
mudded out. I think, you know, if it's all right, I'd like to do it right the first time. Where, you know, 10 years later, we're still okay. We're not more likely.
And then, if you talk about the one at Johnny Brown, you come up with a pretty good idea.
I don't know if you guys have gone out there, but there's that, it's on the Brinker Hop property, and they have a water line going through the little, you know, 15 foot section there. And it's a real sharp, you know, S-turn.
Just enough room.
If somebody had some material delivered out there with a semi-truck, or, you know, I've heard of people bringing trailers out there and just darn near going over the edge.
Yeah.
It's not very good. It's only 12 feet wide. And to make that turn really kind of scary. Even though it's not on our property, I think, you know, it leads to, what, 20 some lots up there. I think we're responsible to kind of keep that road maintained and functional. Plan was is to take some of those concrete culverts that we have and do, I think, two or three of them. You know, we can dump mortar over the sides of them and some cloth and bury them. And instead of the road going as an S, just kind of make it straight through, not really changing the direction of the water flow or anything, just adding a couple of the culverts we already have. So basically the cost would probably be some equipment time and possibly some
rotations. I think Lee said that the Brinkerhoffs were okay with us doing that as well, and that's big.
If we've been driving on it for over 5 years, is that what I think?
What did you find out about that gravel? Spring.
I was thinking the
shooting.
Okay, now we're off again. Different conversation.
Well, we have it.
Oh.
That's another student bar will come out. Over
here. Oh, yeah. Over at the, what do they call that? There used to be the windmill there.
The Slime Canyon?
You said there was a bunch of gravel there.
Yeah, there is.
We get released.
We need to go to, you and I need to go to the BLM.
Then lots of mine. I talked with Dirk Place about it, and they said they cannot. So, you know, I've been thinking in my head, you know, you think 10, 12 years past, where the county used our gravel pit, and we actually got some gravel out of it. I don't know if we can do that again, have the county come in and take some of that material.
Maybe the next month or two, we can set up
just something to think about down the road.
BLM and the county same day.
Something to think about down the road, having the county come in.
There's a lot of gravel there.
Well,
I mean, it would be nice to have it in some of the worst spots.
If you look at it, it wouldn't cost us anything.
Which road is that that goes on the grid now?
What?
Which road is that that goes on the grid now?
Well, it's on the brick of Hoff's property that Marvin's comprising it.
It's right in between here and here.
We've got it.
It's actually right up to here. That's that.
So we're responsible.
Yeah, and then from there to here is the government.
So where is that?
We have the road.
There's the road that leads right out to.
Are you turn out to go to the west side? I don't know. It's just that section.
But have you ever been out there?
Yeah.
What we're talking about.
Okay. Before.
that you got the sprinkler hops to allow us to make that arbor?
Well, they actually were taking us to court because we just went and dumped the gravel. And when he hired a lawyer, Brinkerhoff hired a lawyer.
Oh.
And the lawyer basically told him that's been, it's about 1800s, that road. You're wasting your, in fact, you should be paying them for doing the road.
Do we need it to the commission?
We didn't need it,
now?
No.
No. Okay.
Now, where they're talking to put that culvert in, yes.
Oh, okay.
Because we're going to be expanding it quite a bit.
So we need
like 25 feet, 27 feet?
I don't even think it's that much.
Yeah, but from the ditch, from the left, from the, you know, the side where it drops right off to where we were going was about 27 feet, which was wider than what the right of way was.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're good with that.
Okay.
So we got the one, I think the priority would be the one up by Joe. Do you have any other?
And lot 13. There's a couple little things.
151.
There's a
150.
Well,
yeah. We're gonna get there.
There's a couple other little things. This last fall, I noticed back in slide that I think needs some attention as far as the material and maybe some road base. But you know, I'd like to get with Larry and at least, you know, he's got the equipment there. He, you know, kind of just turned him loose on that. There's just two or three different sections over there that I'd like him to kind of concentrate on.
And how far up in Flight? Pashaw's place, right?
Yeah.
And we need about, like, when I counted going up there in the summer, we need like six culverts up there, tiny ones, but the road just bottoms out like six places.
We've been kind of ignoring, I know since I've been on the ranch, we've ignored that whole.
Yeah, that whole end there.
We should, when we come up with a plan for what we're going to spend money on.
I think what I'd like to do is kind of turn Larry loose on it and have him present something to the board. Hey, this is what I can do, this is the time that I can do it. Because I can drive through there 100 times and not see it. But these people that drive up there on a regular basis, they kind of know. They know after the rains where the water's going. Larry and Fickler know exactly what goes on.
Never guess who taught Larry. His daddy taught him everything he knows.
I mean, you see what I mean? I mean, I could go through and say, we need one here, we need one here, we need, and Larry's going to say, well, you know what, we don't really need one here. This is more of a focus.
Yeah.
We can't lose our priority on that coal. If the government shuts that down, we'll never get it open.
Yeah.
So we
got to
get on that.
We do have the right of way now, but
yeah,
we could lose.
We don't want to lose that.
We got a plan. Correct. We got a plan for spread.
That's kind of the right way.
Yeah.
That, we're going to have to, that's going to be a start of our road budget right there.
Probably like the start and the end. Can I ask a question?
Did this go to our top 25 list? And you are working on it, or is it just out there, dangling in the middle, Larry get the price, or
as far as...
Or should Joe put it together?
It either goes on Joe's list, or it goes on someone's list, so it doesn't come up in the next meeting, and we're still where we are now.
Discussion. We're trying to like we have three priorities now, and we haven't talked about the last thing. But I think we're gonna public safety. We got to do something with the two of those culverts. We have to. Somebody gets hurt in there, it's just the ranch will get sued. I'm surprised. I leave and go in it every night. He gets home. Not because you were drinking late.
We have a handful of priority sections.
Yep.
We have the coal road. And then, you know, I mean, we can expand from that. We branch out from there to culverts and slide.
I mean, we need to hear from all of the board members. You know, everybody needs to know what we're doing. Just taking one board member's word for it. Paul and I went out yesterday, and we literally come up with a plan to fix it. And now all it is let's do it. Let's get it done. If Dale's got an idea or anybody else on the board has got an idea, let's do them. We got the budget. Let's do it.
What I have for the top 10 is the coal road number 1, brush hogging now because it's frozen, cattle guard, and chain crossing by Dog Hollow.
We're going to put lot 109 culvert and the one on, we ought to fix the road on lot 151 also, which is damaged. Before we began with those till spring, so.
That road was
leaving on
totally,
the top 10 we get there.
That road was totally destroyed. totally destroyed from a construction.
The 151?
Go up to mine on that. It's right by your place.
Oh, ours. Oh, yeah. He worked on that.
Yeah, yeah, but he didn't fix it. I mean, it made it easier for us to go to our lot.
But, right.
You explain.
You're going to have to, I don't know how this works, but as a contractor, you hire somebody to work on your property, and
you're responsible to fix the road.
And I told John Martin yesterday, I saw him yesterday, I said, you know, I got a couple hours in on your road, you know, you might see it in, you know, a bill for it. And he was okay with it.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with it is that all the gravel's gone.
Right.
There's no, that deep.
Yep.
So, I'm not sure what the,
you're gonna have to, you know, the bill.
You know, if the contractor said, I shouldn't do it because I'm going to damage the road, and John overrides it and says, you go ahead and do it, then John's responsible. But if the contractor made the decision, then we should bill the contractor.
We don't have a recourse from that.
Well, we have to find out from John Martin what he said or didn't say.
Can you talk to him, John?
What's your thoughts, Bill?
I did.
Well, they were out there working on some fence, too.
I think they were in there then. They were in there yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know really how to handle that.
Yeah, you don't want to hurt somebody. Look, I don't know how much Lloyd made off of that job, but that would pretty much eat up his whole profit.
If Lloyd told John, I can't do this now, I'm going to damage the road,
Just
leave it till next month, and then John says, no, I want you to do it now, then John's responsible for the road.
It was all done in what?
But they didn't wait for it, it wouldn't have hurt.
No, the deepest part of those ruts.
Right.
On the other hand, the contractor did not dissipate the gravel. Covering the ruts probably is a 2 or 3 hour job. The road was probably improper to begin with. We looked at roads all over the place. I think we've got to have $50,000 more gravel on the main metal roof.
Sure.
I think as a board, we've got to decide when are we going to approach these things, you know, with enough money and debt. Because, I'm not defending.
No, I know where you're coming from.
The road was there, and people scream that there's a rut made. The ruts can be covered up very inexpensively. The problem is,
it's going to get worse next time. Yep, it's going to get worse this time. Well, I personally put a couple of $1,000 between Larry and the gravel pit there when I did it last year.
Yep.
And it's gone. I mean, it's gone.
Yep.
And we should get something, you know, maybe the road was done improper, so maybe some of that is the reason why it's as bad as it is. But still, we lost money on that.
You look at what we're doing. You know, we're talking about cabins and usage and how much it costs. You look at, you know, cost per fish. You look at cost per... So now, they didn't deliberately do it, but they damaged the road. It costs money. You know, and at the end of the year, it all adds up.
It's
it was
exactly
2 hours
right.
of time, it was fuel, it was whatever. I'm not sure really how to go about this. I'm okay with...
Well, the gravel can't be gone. The gravel's still there.
You know, it's down a foot and a half down in the mud. Right. You can't bring it back.
You need road bed instead of gravel.
I think to just to be fair and say, you know what, the road was improperly done to begin with, which is going to charge you 2 hours for, you know, fuel usage and time.
Well, what about the gravel itself?
It was not
a problem until this time. And we've gotten by with it for 4 years I've been there.
Right.
And I've added to the bad spots. And
I've never seen that road that bad, ever.
Yeah, well, that's what did it. So, no, I think there should be some kind of compensation.
There should be.
Alan's problem.
From the property owner.
Yeah.
It's ultimately his responsibility.
He's the property owner. John Martin.
Yeah.
Martin.
John Martin.
Alan's Steve working on that area up until home was back and forth and back and forth and back and forth all summer long. But part of that deal was that he would take care of the road and keep the road in good condition, and he did.
And pull the calipers and clean them out.
Yeah.
So he set a precedent, which is the reason why the billing should be done.
Yeah.
Precedent has been set.
Maybe we could discuss this behind the scenes and figure out what to do. I mean, I think we're between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
You know, and not to, you don't want to hurt anybody, but yet it costs money.
Right.
That's
well,
he
kind of told him that he gave me a bigger bill. So that's what he had. That's, but we didn't have to be fair
about
the whole
thing.
Right. Well,
I didn't know
how much. Well, see, the thing is that they just gradient it. You know, the first rain, it's going to be deeper than it was before.
I think we're jumping into something that's worse than we have to, because he may be okay with what he's been billing. He may not. He can come back and So I don't know why we'll be fighting over it until we get to that point. Let's just give him up. Give him the bill. Let him decide and go.
Okay. We're going to follow this format right here. See you next.
Well, that one.
Okay.
Well,
I started on it. I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was doubled up. Ranch activities, agriculture, and wildlife.
I can do it directly. Okay. So, I have a couple things. I don't have any activities at the moment. I had somebody coming to report last month and was not here, so we're not going to do that. But I did get a water meter. We talked about getting a water meter if you want to check. I have one in my car. If you want to take that out and check the flow of the water.
Per cabin or on a cabin?
On a cabin. I do have a meter.
Cool.
I put on the cabin if you'd like to try that.
Good stuff.
I spoke with AmeriGas and the meter propane. I think we did. It's about $300 per unit.
Well, I think we're going to try it first.
We cannot buy one and install it ourselves.
Oh, they have to do it?
They have to do it.
Okay. 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 Well, that's all I have.
Another way to get money.
I think they're regulated, so they have to do it that way.
Code enforcement.
Yeah.
Anything from the bank?
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're done?
That's it.
I've seen groups of 15, 20 people come in and not really using it. But then I've seen the same group come in. And it's, you know, I can imagine.
Do you know anything on the water?
Water?
The water system? Water resources?
I thought I would ask the board on the water resources, what would the board like for us to do? What would you like to see happen?
I would like to see... I asked for a couple months ago the copy of the engineer's report on Meadow Canyon so we know what the diagnosis is of that spring or what they found. I would like to know that so we can know maybe what direction we go.
You're in the Benson area.
Oh, Meadow Canyon Springs whole area.
That's on the agenda.
Yeah. I would like to have copies of those in our files so we can go back and refer to it.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we know nothing.
The springs have not been measured. And if I'm wrong, I made a note here that there's no money to maintain the water systems or development. That's why I asked about the board, what would you like to see happen? And any of these people that come in and do things expect to be paid. And so I'd like to have guidance from the board as to what they want to see happen on the little flurry of interest on the Half Moon Well. Some intelligent statements made and some stupid statements made on the Half Moon Well. If we want to dig into it and do something that's accurate and right, how much do you want to do, and where are you going to use the water,
And why shouldn't we look at the half-moon well? Well, there was a story of interest. It may be easy that it will not be mentioned again for a year or two. Or we could go ahead and mention it and put together a program.
Can I make a suggestion, Bill? I'm in the dark. I'm, you know, just getting back on the board, and I don't know about Robert or Joe, but I need to go out and see. I need to stand on it, and you need to tell me what the current ideas are, and I just can't make it. I couldn't make a decision on it. Not even close, because it's like you make a decision on something you don't know anything about. It's got
a lot of good questions, a lot of good input. I didn't hear anything stupid put out about that. I mean, questions were put out, but something was stupid. I don't understand that statement.
Well, I think
we talked about pumping water from that well up into that cabin and putting that
into the tank.
Into the tank. And that was one thing that brought up. But we would have to, somebody has to go look at it and see what it would cost.
Well, I don't think we can put that water up there.
We cannot. If we had a separate tank right there,
yeah,
that could work. However, you know, not to get way off track here, but you know, there was a lot of talk about pumping it up to the other tank or get another tank. I'd just like to see some water flowing out of it. You know, maybe keep half the reservoir full or the rest right there with some water in it. Maybe down the road, you know, get some fish in it. Possibly, but just to exercise that well and get some water flowing, you know, there's a nice field right there that could be irrigated.
Mm-hmm.
There were some good, like you said, there were some good comments made, and there were some, you know, comments made like pumping it into the 40,000 gallon tank.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
You cannot do that.
Why can't you? Yeah.
Because that's a public water system.
If the well's approved, why can't it be? Why can't it be approved? Any well can be approved if it's clean. Well, if it can be, then it's just too expensive. It's not that it's stupid, it's just too expensive.
We have to drill the well.
Yeah,
that's
what we do.
I argue the same. I don't know why we had to put a new well in for the ranch.
We got two out there in the world
because
we had to do
the other one 10 years ago.
It was so expensive to fix the one, we just said, you know what?
Well, it is. Some people know what has to happen. And we drilled the new well at Half Moon. The old well is still there. The new well is the one that has a electric pump down in it right now. And we mounted a volume. We pumped that well. We moved sprinklers. We got a beautiful new water right for 28 acre feet, which is a marvelous water right. That all happened out of Half Moon well. It's clear what happened there and why it happened and how it happened and where it could go in the future. However, if there's no money, why worry about it? So I think we've got to decide whether we're going to have money to do some of these things or what. Let's not get a bunch of blueprints and the engineering stuff only to say we're broke.
Right.
Did we not budget any money for water?
No. We have system maintenance and repairs about $4,000. I didn't bring a printed copy of the actual budget, but my
budget.
So we have like $5,000 to go into water, and that's to include system maintenance and repairs, which just the regular cabin maintenance and repairs takes all that $4,000. And then water catchments and diversions about $1,000. So we don't have any money this year. Hence, keep to the budget, save what we can, maybe get it next year. Which is something simple.
That are on the agenda in this engineering report.
Is that the 1 year?
Those are done.
Is that the 1 year?
So there isn't any reason why we can get a copy of that.
This would have a copy of the only work we've done. Our general engineering over there.
I've updated
it. 3 or 4 years ago.
So you had some done last year, last summer, or the summer before. You said you had a couple engineers come out. Did they not do a report, or they just came to look at it?
I paid for people to come out and make some drawings on how to capture the spring.
Oh, okay.
And how to keep it safe and clean.
So no spring analysis at all has been done on it.
I personally would like to go. Go out there and, you know, talk about the water, but I'm kind of in the dark.
I think you like to spend a day with all of it.
Yeah, all the board should go out and, because we can't, we know we can't, all need to do it, otherwise we can't make a good decision.
Right. Well, I think we planned one of those a couple years ago, but we showed up. Because I was there. You were there. Yeah, I'd say we need to do a field trip in the spring.
That the ranch at one time apparently really had systems.
What?
At one time, 100 years ago, there was quite a water system.
Dale resurrected that 2 years ago, and the best long year we've had in the last 5 years, and it worked beautifully.
Remember, that was the year that we had a bunch of rain, too, which helped get the water flowing.
Well, we got the rain after it picked all the red ones.
So it all moved. Yeah, so it all moved.
When we decide to say we'd like to do something with the water, and like to provide the money necessary to do it with the water, I would be delighted to reports that we've done. Again, some would say, well, that just failed stupid logic. We need to get an appraiser come in. I'm kind of sick and tired of who the authorities are in doing these things. The water system is there. It's been studied for 40 years. A state engineer knows what it is, and it can be done. But it's a lot of money. Who's going to put the money in? And do we want it bad enough that DSROA is going to put the money in? Or do you have some other magic on doing it? I'd be happy to go to each of the 6 or 8 water sources and tell you what has been talked about over the years. And could give you an idea of the possible cost of what it's going to be and what the, and why even do it. I think that's a beautiful asset. I think it could be done. But to spend time only to have cold shot in it, and somebody want to second guess everything and say, oh, the engineers don't know what they're doing,
we haven't seen any engineer reports, so that's why the comment, why would we think the engineers wouldn't know what they're doing? Of course they're going to know what they're doing, but we haven't seen anything from an engineer on any of that. We have paid for
it. The state of Utah designed water guidelines.
Correct.
Long time before you and I.
Yeah.
And so you and I say, we're going to change them from reading brief.
That's right.
Why were they stupid enough to require this? They did it for a reason.
Right.
And assuming we know those reasons, then we can move forward.
Well, I think it boils down to each one of us as a board member to do our job. You know, I'm going to pull it and look at the springs, and I think everybody, yeah, we need a plan that's in force, you know, to instead of talking about it at the meeting, we can go, okay, next year we're going to do this. Next year we're going to do that.
I think the motion that we go on a field trip probably close to March.
Absolutely. I'll second that. To go out on the ranch and look at the water. Actually, March would be a little soon.
That would be too soon, I think. End of April.
March is almost the Easter time. Everything's ready.
Is it still snowing now? And I
thought it was connection with the March board meeting or the April board meeting.
April.
We'll be a lot smarter in a couple months than we are today.
April board meeting would be good.
Yeah.
Some of the discussion was about restoring the old water system was, who cares, we're not a farm anyway, why do we need water?
I think that was beautiful. I loved it.
And so we need to be educated, the board as well as the membership, of why water is important to begin with, and the potential that we have at the ranch is not being used. If we pump it, if we catch the runoff, if we store it, if we irrigate, you know, the potential is there, to say nothing of the value.
Dale and I were talking about that yesterday, but the water is everything. It's everything. I mean, we could have the most beautiful place in the world without water and level.
Well, I made a motion to pay for it.
Yes. April. Everybody's good?
We need a motion on that.
We don't have to.
It doesn't matter. It's something that says, okay, we're going to do it because we get tired of it.
Okay, we're going to do it.
Oh, we're talking about
Hey, you know, they have a really good idea there. We haven't tapped into this at all, but a cheaper way to catch some of this water is rain and make some catchment systems throughout.
I think that I need to be educated on the water system before I can even give you any kind of...
You're going to get a second in the water.
Probably not for a week or so, but we'll get together.
That's right.
Okay. I don't think we have to. That's for the field trip.
Right.
You all in favor?
Yeah.
All right. I've got, you're done, Dale?
Well, in connection with that, that same field trip could be a marvelous time to look at the roads we're driving on.
Right. It's a good idea.
It could be roads out of water and plan on probably 6 hours together. And if
yeah, that's about right.
Perhaps get in say, a Suburban or 8 or 9 of us could talk between places, look at the roads, have a map, and if anything, we could do some real good in a day.
I don't know about anybody else, but that's my fun out there. I love being out there and walking around the ranch. There you go. Sounds good. Yeah, well, I don't think we would even go there.
I think a few of us know kind of what needs to take place out on the coal road. And we have some equipment lined up.
We are a dick by then.
No.
the Suburban has been across there for 20 years.
The same one, too, isn't it?
It won't make it now across something that wide.
Yeah, you can't even get a four-wheeler at that one spot.
I don't know. I actually pulled a Suburban out with the Rhino.
Off the coal miner?
The coal. Off Crawford. Yeah.
Because you can't, right now, you can't get a four-wheeler through there without going up around in the woods.
Alright.
Okay, you done? Yeah? Okay. My public safety and the communications were basically with Paul yesterday. We identified some real dangerous spots out there at the ranch and come up with a plan. I guess Joe and I and Paul need to talk a little bit more about the matrix of getting that stuff done.
Yeah.
Yeah, up by you and then the one out by Johnny Brown. So that's all I have.
Well, the second part of that is communications, and I told him yesterday I purchased 4 new radios. I think they were $36 a piece. I'm getting with Bob Becker.
4 new.
I'm getting with Bob Becker, and he's going to give me the program to program these radios. And I think, I think that'll, we have our 2, and then I have another 2 plus the 4, either to sell them at $75 a piece or rent them out for the week or weekend. A big group like the reunion kind of have a radio here for this group.
For emergencies,
for emergencies. But here we are talking about radios again and how great they are. To put it out there, we're going to have some radios for rent and for sale. I don't know if we sell all 4 at $75 a piece or what.
You keep those. Someone wants something, they can put an order in, and you can buy them. And
we have our 2 plus another 2 that we loan out. There's people that come in, they're like, oh, well, where can I buy one?
We
have them. There you go. Yeah. They're not going to go and buy one. Oh, yeah. I found.
Yeah, if you're sitting there in front of them, you're right.
Well, I remember, like you said, I'll have them on the program, and they can buy them. we're asking for money for the programming as well.
Yeah,
I mean, I've seen the container and the batteries and the panel and the box that they put all this stuff in. It's coming out of somebody's pocket.
Right, about $10 a day.
Yeah.
A day?
A day, $25 a weekend.
Yeah. If we rent them or sell them, we're going to have to give them instructions. It's not the chitter chatter between two kids.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you, that chitter chatter goes on. Decker and I have been out there to do some repairs on that repeater system up there. And it will not take an infinite amount of talking like some of these people do on that radio. It's got to be limited to either emergency or
business.
Yes.
So,
not chit chat. That's not many we can put on the website as far as
matters.
Question
on that.
Did Matt get that? Is he on?
I'm here. Dan, are you on there?
Anyway, but that's just something that we could post.
Oh, he's there. You want to ask him something?
Just if he caught that.
Did you catch the last discussion about the radios?
Yeah, I've been listening.
Okay. My question on that is, if we have a radio and we're leasing it out here and there during the summertime when people are here, and then someone wants to buy it, we're selling them a used radio. They need to understand that it's a used radio, and if it breaks the next day, we're not doing their money back at that, or how are we going to work that?
I think there's two
different
radios.
The
separate
style of
the
ones
in
your house.
Yeah,
he's
going to
get
separate.
I have
four. We have two for you and two extra, right?
Yeah. Four. And then he just bought four and one.
Oh.
And I gave you two.
Right. Those
are
two little ones.
So we sell them the new ones.
Yeah.
We sell them the new ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are the ones we should rent out a couple bucks a day.
Right.
And then just sell the new ones.
That's what we're doing.
Okay.
But, I mean, just to top off your communications, you know, they're already rent for rent, one for sale. So.
I got a question for Dale. You got a good idea how many people are going to be out there? There's a couple of things here, like four-wheelers. There's going to be a lot of four-wheelers out there. Okay.
Right. So we have that on at the bottom of the
what's that?
The whole discussion on that group at the bottom of the
okay. All right.
Next page.
Okay.
Art, you've got three items on number 11 on the next page of your agenda that's under art. So you may want to look at all three items. Are we under
sure. Yeah, that's why I should have continued on it. Right. For sure.
Talk about organization. If we're going to have the A, B, C, D, E, F, G, then the numbers should be in that same sequence. Then we go on and get budgets first and legal next. And
well, for the last two or three months, the very last items never got attended to, so that's why it got rearranged this time.
Okay.
But anyway, that's why I did that. Otherwise, it would be that way.
Well, that's
so, yeah, you've got three items there.
Yeah, the five-year plan that we were talking, Joe, have you given any thought?
Yeah, but I haven't put up. I looked over at Bill Hall's and I'm not sure if I understand everything he meant. I'm going to have to go over with you and come up with some good ideas.
Well, maybe we can take the next month or the month after, the day before the meeting, if you can get out here.
I usually come up the day before.
Okay. Yeah, that'll work.
I think the important thing is
yeah, we need
by
to
the end of this
forward.
Term, by the end of this board's term, that there's something in place that we can move forward with the next board, with the next.
That's always been the problem.
Yeah, I think John Southwick came up with a good plan, but there was no follow through.
Bill had a plan. John Pardo and myself had a 5-year plan. I mean, it just next board comes in, we got to somehow put something in place. That we can, you know, if we have a good plan and we agree on it, it needs to follow through for the 5 years, otherwise it's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
And we got 2 years anyway.
Well, so the next one is.
Yeah. I've got nothing on that.
Communication.
No.
And then dance thing, what matters?
Yeah. Okay. Dave.
Are we on number 7 now?
Yeah.
Okay. I think you can move that down, Sean.
I
don't have it. Okay. Here's my question on this. The comment was made, this has been on here for a few months, comment was made that there's something about lead relief that we've used before.
So I didn't hear two of those words. There's something about what?
We have had a lead relief form that's been used. But here's my question. Why are there no members? Does that mean that there's no lead relief for members? I don't know. I don't know. But
a liability.
What are we trying to do?
I think we're trying to protect ourselves from when non-members come into the ranch and rent cabin from whatever trouble they might get into, releasing us of liability if they get injured doing what they do, giving them the complete instructions on what they can be doing and what they're allowed to do while they're here, and that they're responsible for damages or whatever. And that would really come into the member that booked them the cabin. If
right,
something was damaged, but something to get to cover our butts in case somebody was injured while they're there. I think it's the main thing.
And I talked to an attorney about it, and he said it's not worth the paper it's written on, because everything is based on Utah law, and we're either liable or we're not. And there's a notebook in each cabin that has instructions, whether or not they read it, whether or not they sign it. And member versus non-member, why are we differentiating?
And I think the non-member part was also people that come in that ride their RV through and say, hey, we're going to stay for the night, have no idea about the ranch, have no idea about gas, cocaine, anything. Those would be members or people that come in that aren't associated with any members.
Well, if they stay on the ranch, Linda should already know that they're going to be there. She has a number.
No.
You don't know of all, either one of them, but you have them booked at every cabin or at the ranch. And they can read that or give it to them.
But they read it for their information, and we're either liable or we're not as an association.
Depending on what has
regardless.
Happened.
Regardless of whatever statement
you know,
signed.
And
some I've done, if there's somebody that comes in that hasn't been there in a while or has never been there, mm-hmm. I always... I'm handing them the key, and I'm saying, hey, do you know how to light the gas lights? Do you know, the propane fridge and what it does? And, you know, I kind of inform them, but I think we need to be directed a little more on showing them that book and saying, this is how it's done. But, like, what he's saying is to have them sign something.
No, okay, well, here's the deal on that. And just from being an outfitter in Arizona, this is what... At one point in time, the insurance company said, you must have everybody sign a waiver. Okay, so we did that for a little while. Then they come back 6 months later, okay, don't sign waivers because now you're setting yourself up, whatever. But then the horseback riding stables, they're required to do the waivers, not necessarily because of insurance purposes, but it's an extra form of documentation that proves to the court that this person knew the liabilities before they got into it. It doesn't help us win the lawsuit. But it helps show that we did the best we could to provide the information that we needed to keep them out of the pickle. And that's why I'm thinking that we should have it anyway.
Why does it say non-members?
So people that come in that drop in off the
members. I mean, I've had kids bounce off a bed.
Members have copies of the PCNRs, the rules, and all of our documents, so they can read those. I'm just thinking the people that come in.
Meeting in your spare time in the evening. And so... We were out riding the motorcycle off the road to the east of the airstrip. Paul came out, or later on Paul said, you know, you can't ride off the road. You know, this is ranch land, it's a monument when everything was applied. That was the first time I became aware of that. Mm-hmm. That might be something that's written in the notebook. I've been there 100 times and I've been to the day I've read it cover to cover. So the bigger issue here is how do we inform people? Where is the complete list of all the rules? And are you going to get someone to initial it or sign it, having read it or not? But releasing the association from liability, and according to the attorney I talked to, it doesn't stand up in court. Everything goes back to Utah law. And the president would sit there and So maybe there's something, a feel-good thing where we feel like we've covered our tails, but ultimately it's determined in court.
Right, right.
Whether or not they actually read it, whether or not they were aware of it, I was off the road. Didn't know.
It would be the same as like you're renting an ATV from another company to go out playing for the day. You rent it, you get a release of liability statement, you get a contract, you read through it. It's the end user's responsibility to read through that to know what they can do, what they can't do. So I think it just covers up.
Okay, so back to my first statement, which was somewhere out there, there was a release form that we've used in the past.
We have them on file.
Can you find it?
I don't have the lyric of it. It's in the file.
Okay.
I've never seen it.
Because we're going to have to spend some money to come up with a new one.
I've got a copy of a general one, then we take it to Ed and have him look it over and make changes.
I have to
do it. You've got the money.
For Google.
I have
the original file. Okay, but I'm just saying, to actually make it legit and if we're going to do this and do it right, are we just going to throw something out there or are we going to spend some money to try to go find it?
Well, I think it would be important to have an attorney review it.
Okay.
If we put something,
and
we have funds in the legal.
Okay. I'd like to make one comment on that liability stuff. I think we, or Paul specifically, should inform the people in the spring and the fall when the windows are closed, they have to keep something open because many people don't realize that that gas refrigerator could actually physically knock them down and knock them out. Jody can attest to that. She had a wasp nest in her furnace and it almost knocked her out. So specifically in those two, when the windows are open, I mean closed,
right,
we should notify the people, please leave at least two windows cracked open because you could get another CO2. I mean, hydrocarbons in there to actually kill you.
Yeah.
Open bales place.
Whether they can light the things properly or not, if they leave them running, because some people leave the lights on to heat the place.
Yep.
Plus the refrigerator is going. I've gotten to my cabin in the wintertime, run inside, light all the lights, turn the oven on or the stove on, put a pot of water on to put some heat and moisture in there. Go someplace for 15 minutes and come back, and my alarms are going off in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is dangerous. You need to be aware of that aspect of it, if nothing else.
The refrigerator is bad.
Getting stuck is one thing, having someone die
in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And but you get a cabin sitting for 2-3 weeks, and you go in there and get right, you know, the windows being open, at least getting some kind of crap in there.
We have 6 people in Dale's cabin. And all 6 of them were this close, like Jody, just that close to being dead.
That should be notified.
The refrigerator just went kaput.
And you think it's the flu, so you don't even think about it.
Yeah.
You know? Nancy and they're actually in the process of working on those folders and getting them up to date, getting them current.
Yeah.
Do we have CO2 detectors?
Every cabin has a CO2 detector. Yeah.
Smoke detectors, CO2. Some people come in and take out the batteries.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's their liability.
Yeah.
And I think, Dave, like, I don't think we should spend thousands on it, but I think if we find, like, if you Google up a document or I find that document that we use, then they can just review it, and, like, someone like Ed that's been at the ranch and had property can kind of adjust it to our ranch situation. I think that would be sufficient. That will only take a couple of the dollars.
Okay.
I'll
answer 2 items. It says members or non-members on the thing. I was excited about having the meeting here. We owned this for 10 years. I built the 24 units in the back and the 32 units. So most of Perry Lodge was done while we owned it. We did not get people to sign liability waivers to come here. Out at the Holiday Inn, we did not get people to sign. In America today, there's a lot of people using a lot of facilities that they do not own. I'm not sure that Deer Springs is a whole lot different than that. And so if non-members use Deer Springs, I don't think that that changes their liability position any more than it does a facility like this. And secondly, Paul or somebody has a family that comes to the ranch. There are non-member members of that party. that do not, that are not hungry. And so, do we try to get everybody, young and old, to sign a waiver, whether they're guests, or whether they're friends, or whether they're cousins, or whether they're something else? And is the waiver a big item in motel, hotels throughout the world? I've never been asked to sign a waiver.
When you check in, you sign a document.
A waiver.
No, but this is commercial insurance here. We're a little bit different than ranch, though, Dale. You know, this is a hotel, and your commercial policy covers whatever happens here, including that pool. At the ranch, there's so many things like things that are not normal to most people, like your propane, your refrigerators.
But your insurance on the ranch covers the ranch.
Well, here we go. If we're renting out and getting paid for it, it's different insurance than if you're just letting people use it. So that might be
here's an example. I come in, turned the gas light, nothing happened. Went to all of them and turned them all on. Froze all night because they didn't want to light a fire because they were afraid it was going to blow up. So if something were to happen, you better believe that a lawyer is going to be fine in a pocket today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if a liability form being signed is worth it. I don't think it is.
I think it's one more protection.
I think when you hand over a key and say, be sure to read the book that is on the counter, that will fill you in with all the information.
And they come back and they go, I wasn't told that.
We should actually hand that book out with the key.
I could post it on the door. I've been a hundred times and I haven't read it.
You grew up here. You wouldn't have to read it.
And it's people. I don't know about the liability issue. Shouldn't our insurance company help us out on this? I mean, if that's the issue.
They might be able to provide a form.
They could probably even supply the liability release.
Our commercial liability probably covers us here at the ranch, but they don't know that we're renting out to other people outside. And I don't think, if someone comes in with Paul's family, Paul's a responsible one. He signs the waiver. Or if he's a branch member, he doesn't have to sign the waiver. He's responsible for that party. If you get Joe and Cindy from Canada, and they're going through to Bryce, and they stop at Sandy Cabin, those are people that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And we're renting them. We're in a whole new commercial liability avenue than we are with just what we have right now. I don't even know if we're covered that way. So, and each policy, you pay extra for that stuff. If you're renting it out to the public, you're going to pay extra for that stuff. You have that clause in there that we're supposed to?
Can I talk to the insurance people and find out? Because we really don't know what we're talking
about. Can we find out?
Waiver, no waiver, fine, you're going to get sued.
A person
can't find a way in.
Right.
And I had that happen to me on another piece of property last minute, but he signed a waiver that he's going to use the property and all that. He got the $500. I got sued.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to get it.
Yeah. The waiver is just a waste of time.
Yeah.
I got a set of rules and regulations that the guy has read. He can find that he has read this and then have to file that.
Because of what Paul said about the guy turning all the lights on, I think the average person that uses our place knows how to work a gas stove or gas oven, because they know the flame has to come out. With a light, maybe every person that comes up, you should ask them, have you ever lit?
I do.
And then take them into the store and show them how to do it right there.
I take them right into my house.
Take them into the house.
You light the match first. You don't want to let light right. Second.
You stick it right through the mail.
At least show them that.
The first time I did it, I didn't know what I was doing.
The stove is different. You'll see a flame come on. He may change the turn around and walk away, and it'll come on in like half a minute.
And the wood stoves?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I have asked Linda how to do a wood stove. I've been saying, Arizona, what do I know about a wood stove? I'm still not comfortable with it, so I let it alone. But you get other people that come, I can do that, and just throw wood in it.
You have a gallon of gas and throw them in.
Exactly.
How many years have you had the cabins? 40 years. How many times have we been sued?
Only on our course.
I'm talking about the cabins now.
Well, I think
we've been lucky.
Yeah,
we've been lucky.
I think just talking about it, we're up at the game and we're kind of focused on, hey, this we need to cater to certain
people. I think that, as far as the waiver goes, I think Dave's right. You're going to find out that it needs money.
Well, yeah, thank the insurance company. And I think that's what covered.
Going to the insurance company and get some professional
advice. Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
Thank you,
that's right. I think we're down to Dan.
I had a question real quick. Bob Allen's got reservations in wet developments. I brought it up last meeting. Revenue for the ranch. About revenue for the ranch. I talked about taking two cabins, 9 and 10, basically the least used cabins out of all, I think, you know, 6 might be, I don't know, the least used is 9 and 10. But taking two cabins, 6 and 10, 9 and 10, 10, 4, whatever, but taking a couple cabins and taking them not offline, but putting them out there to where they could be rented for the week by outside parties. There's places in town they get 12 a week just for a town home right here for somebody to come in and rent. If we were to take a cabin and rent it out by the week at $700 a week, you could do the math over 6 months, we're looking at $25,000 to $30,000. I'm not saying we're going to get that, but
yeah.
Kind of getting permission to say, can I put this out there? Can we try a cabin or two cabins to see if we can make this work? $700 isn't much, but for the amenities that they're getting, they're not getting power, they're not getting.
I'd say 500.
Yeah. If you want to run them, you've got to be realistic.
The question is, should he do it?
Should I?
The question is, should he do it? Whatever.
Well, I think that should come into when you talk to the insurance company, kind of a roundabout way, find out if we're allowed to.
That might be opening up a can of worms, too.
All that. Yeah, just around the bush,
I'm going to ask my insurance.
Yeah, there you go.
Just to put it out there, not taking it from the members, if they can still get their weeks, but there's a lot of weeks for those cabins to sit.
Why don't you do a quick proposal, and the next meeting we'll put on the agenda and do the yes or no? Something in writing that we can.
I talked with Ken Gossenberg. He can promote their spring grants as far as cattle rental to Europeans, to that whole side of the world. That's what he does. That's why we pay our taxes.
Well, we're a non-profit, but that does not change the fact that the cabins are $40,000 a drain on our budget.
So,
No, non-profit. We put the money into with the money we get, we put it back into the ranch. We put it into capital improvements. That's a flush.
So, but just to do it, even just to take one cabin and say, why wouldn't we approve this right now?
I'll put it up for a vote.
I think I want to know what the insurance company
We could subject to the insurance
company. We need to know our lives.
In fact, that was considered commercialized in the place we worked for that. I don't want to set a precedent unless we.
Well, we kind of already do commercialize it. If you have a buddy next door that needs a week out there, you're going to give it to them. You know, it's still
drive into the ranch, and it does say cabin rental.
We've been doing it for years. We've never been sued. You know, I think the one thing I would get rid of in the cabin, if it was me, just my opinion, those little gas lights, dangerous as hell.
We've talked about doing solar in a couple of
Very inexpensive right now.
About $500 a cabin.
Oh,
not even that.
I just came out with a really awesome thing on television. It's only battery, it's the mic, and it's like a motion detector thing. And it lasts for 100,000 hours, okay? And it can go in any direction. You could use those because they're LED. I ordered them. I'm going to see what they're like. But that's like they have no power. Now you could use those would be phenomenal for AA batteries.
I got up to cabin 4. That was above the wall.
I know that, of course. But that is dirt cheap compared to gas. So if you ran that kind of light, we just ran them on AA battery. I mean,
I just wanted to throw it out there. I think we need to weigh the liability.
Yep.
And then we can go from there.
I'm working on the insurance. You work on what you need to hear to get this going. Instead of waiting until May and then ready to be
all check out.
Yeah, but we're looking at a very small budget for maintenance on the cabin for your members. Now, in order to put those cabins for the general public, you talk 6, 9, and 10, how much money is going to be required to get those up to spec? And I don't want to hear not much, because there is much. Between beds, stoves that work, everything else, are we going to spend $3,000? Well, we're going to get that back. We've got big things coming up here that the cabins that are used most of the time for the members need to be addressed as well.
I think it's just a rustic cabin. A rustic cabin. Right up front, but the Europeans will sleep on the floor and have a roof over their head.
You would not believe what these people pay.
And you don't know what they are in other countries. And you think you have blankets on the bed. They're running a hospital. You're still going to need money out of the reduced budget for cabins just to get the cabins.
Well, we should have the cabins up to spec anyway.
We've been installing cabins.
What's the deal?
You're going to take money for the cabins that are all going to be used?
Well, they should be decent, especially for our members.
Absolutely.
Correct.
And so what does it take?
If it's good enough for members, it should be good enough for everybody else.
And then other people use them. I think there's some other things.
You say all cabins, not just two or three out of
all of them.
But the level of decency, I think we're violating.
I agree.
Two or three other items. Do we have surplus cabin space?
Yes.
You say yes. I don't think anybody knows how many people use cabins, how many of them are used by members, how many of them are used by non-members, how many of them are shortened a week for 2 days. There's a study that could be.
I did that in 2011. You have that copy?
I have a copy.
You have that copy?
You're working on the right sheet. Maybe you're working on it as we speak.
No.
So we do know, Dale. Those numbers are there. But do we need to dig them back out again and go over them? Perhaps, yeah.
I don't know. I don't agree with your numbers.
Well, they were factual because they came right off the reservation system. Okay. I don't know how you cannot agree with them, but I agree with what you're saying, but we do have the numbers and we could pull the data to find out what we need to find out.
We're going to need to do that. 1 year?
Yeah, 1 year.
Well, how about 10 years?
Do we need 10 years past or we need now?
What's your point? My point is that we're doing things again blindly, not taking time to really establish, the other question is, some say we do not have enough capital. The demand of members, 300 members at 2 weeks each, you don't have enough.
Oh, yeah, if everyone was going to use their 2 weeks,
can they? Should they? And I think another thing, Mark, I believe that 2 weeks in the cabins are available only to members. I think DSROA has no cabin time.
Technically.
And that's relevant because we wanted to trade cabin time to do the audit.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, and I agree with this statement.
Yeah, because
however, I was just trying to find some red.
And I agree with you.
He's on his side.
We need to move this thing in a positive direction, and we're trying to do it blindly and with enough bias that it really helps. I think the fact that the details are available. I think the logic is available. I think the insurance, all these things are there. If we as a board will pay attention and do it, either we need more cabins or we have too many cabins, or we should have no members, no non-members there, or members should not bring non-members. So there's all a mix of these different things that we should look at to run a good business operation.
Absolutely.
And I'm certainly not objecting at all to us trading cabin time or an auditor or something else. But DSROA, I particularly made sure at one time that DSROA had 6 weeks of time that they could use. That's been canceled and scrapped since then. But in fact, can cabin time be used and committed to by non-members or non-member companies?
Also, the fence builders this summer, Dale ended up giving them cabin time to settle the issue, but does DSROA have cabin time to give people that are out there working?
So, you have members that donate their cabin time.
We have members that donate, and I don't know if I'm...
But we need to address that, but it needs to.
That's
kind of... Let's use that. Let's say...
Whoever donated their time, it needs to be posted.
Donate their time to the use of the cap. And then that fence builder, whatever it is, road builder, gets in trouble. Does that liability go back on you two who were generous enough to put your cabin time in a capital pool?
Give it over to the ranch, and it's covered under the ranch's umbrella.
Well, this year, and a little bit last year, Dale is doing this. Everything was using his time for non-members to come in and stay in our cabin. And now the liability goes back to him. And if somebody breaks something or something gets ruined, he's the one that's liable to replace it. Because it's on his time. So he has to be able to say it's okay. So if anybody just dumps their time in, that doesn't work. That's what I'm saying. It has to be posted to whoever.
Well, they know. We discussed that, but then before they offer their time, they know that. Yeah.
And can we think about, if members want to donate their time back for people that come into the ranch to do work for the ranch, donate that time back to the membership in whole at Deer Springs Ranch, and then it just becomes like an outside member renting without paying a fee. And not make that member responsible, but it has to be agreed to ahead of time.
We used to do that a while back. We're probably not going to do that for a while.
Yeah, that would work too.
Well, I want to throw this out there, and I don't know what kind of response I'm going to get, but if I have somebody doing work out there, say, and this has happened, somebody's out there working for Dale, and Dale's giving them some big cabin time. He's kind of in between jobs. He's doing something for the ranch, and I'm giving him some cabin time.
How
do you
know about that?
Because
there's no DSROA time.
Well, DSROA does have time.
Yeah, we do, it's just not.
I think you all should reiterate for that.
It's getting out of the
wire.
What's
happened because it's been off for 10 minutes. Because of the motion.
We'll get on the phone with
No, she's saying talk about what we just did, like, real quickly, that we're going to do that, but it's on the recording.
Yeah,
on
right
now. The system's already on.
That's set up for January. Yeah.
Yeah, we got the
recording. Did you want advance to know what we talked about? Because it's on recording.
Whoever listens to the meeting.
Whoever listens to the meeting.
The motion was made and passed unanimously that cabin 7 and 8 we're going to be put on solar power for lights only. Correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
Good people. All right, finance department. The first thing we discussed is the audit. I think we've already agreed that we're going to do it. So now it's just a matter of Joe talking with us now and finding out when he can come out and do it. And the cabin time we're going to trade for it.
He didn't say when he would do it. He's going to be in Vegas in January. He lives in Seattle, Washington. And in Vegas, you know, back and forth. But he'll be here January, February, March, and April.
Can you give me a name?
Excuse me?
Can you give me a name?
His name is Tom Davis.
Thank you.
It was in the email I sent him out. He said he would take it out in cabin time. If we wanted him to do it earlier and if the roads were muddy so we couldn't get to a cabin, we could pick up his hotel bill here in town for 1 day or 2 days. Considering he's doing it for free, it's still a good price.
And that way, maybe we can get it done earlier in the year, since he can't get up there now till March or April. He didn't want to do it in February. That way he can get with, I don't know who he has to get with, I would imagine Linda and Jody and maybe Nyla Willis, I don't know, whatever, I don't know that aspect of it, whatever he suggests and he requires.
Well, I personally, I don't know about Dale or Sean or anybody else, but I personally could talk to him.
That's fine, he'll be here.
He's
going to be here later this month in January, he'll be in Vegas.
I don't mean to talk to him to pick at him, but just to get a feel for what, you know, what he's going to do and how he's going to go about it. And,
I agree.
There may be suggestions, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
To follow through on that, in one of my letters I said...
Conference recording started.
Matt, have any of us seen that audit or read it or know what we learned from that so that this next audit can be more productive?
And it may be helpful to him.
True.
Anybody know anything about an audit?
No.
Wait, what's it? I don't think you just...
I mean, an audit just does what an audit does.
Somebody said there was an audit thing.
In 2009
last,
or something like that?
I read that, but I don't know who put it in there.
Before 2006, I think.
Oh.
I think that was last time.
Yeah. I've never had an audit. I don't... It's in one of the emails. Some of you know that there was an audit made, and I suggested that we... Get that audit, look at it, read it, see what it included.
And compare them.
And compare it.
Yeah.
And I don't think, things like this, we let fall through the cracks.
Well, perhaps, I think maybe what you mean
what
is that I haven't, there hasn't been one done since 2006. Maybe, and the only reason I said that is because I haven't ever been involved in it. I wasn't involved before that.
I would say,
well, I don't think
it's ever been done.
I think we can move on. I think the board members ought to have an opportunity to sit with them.
Sure.
You know, just,
and have always said it is worth it, is the expense isn't worth it, and what are you going to find? If we were trying to prove that Linda was dishonest and fraudulent, we'd have an audit. Or if we thought Paul was hiding money or something, we'd hire an audit. Audits are for a purpose of disclosing dishonesty and other kind of problems. We don't have that on their screen.
No, but audits required by our bar law, so it's really not a question.
I know. I put it in there 40 years ago.
Yeah, so we just do it.
And it's been kicked in the teeth for 40 years,
yeah.
And it just never happened. And it should have been put in there.
So since you know of, there's never been an audit here that you know of?
No, I don't know. So there has never been an audit.
We've been negligent for that long.
It's not negligent.
It is.
Why?
We haven't done it.
But we'll find out. With the audit we're going to get, we'll find out if we've been negligent.
Well, we are for our governing documents.
Anyway, I want to talk to him. I don't know about Dale or anybody else, but I'd love to talk to him.
Yeah, I think we should invite him to one of our meetings and have him come in and give us an overview of what we're going to have to do.
And we could pick his brain a little bit, because I don't think any of us really know much about audit.
Since he's going to be in Vegas in January, I will talk to him and find out if he can make the next board meeting.
And
my question is, if he makes the next board meeting in February, should we pick up his tab at the hotel here in town?
I would say yes. That's a given. I don't know what audits cost, but they're not cheap.
I'm sure they're in the thousands.
Yeah.
Of course, I know he's doing the financial one, and it all depends what information we give him. I mean, it may only take him 2 days. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's not my lead.
But even if the 2 days worth of work, $100 an hour or more, it's a lot of money.
And that time we'll find out from him what length of time he thinks, and that way we'll know if 2 weeks in the cabin is adequate or if we need more or what kind of trade to do with him.
Well, I tend to lean with Dale. I don't know why we're going to need an audit unless we've got some issues.
Well, we just
think we're doing our bylaws. If we ever go to court, we can always say, hey, at least we have
it. We try. And it's the right price. I think we're all in agreement. What's that?
We have nothing to
buy. There you go. So why are we worried?
So why are we worried about it? The next one.
Okay.
The price is right.
The price is right. Get it done while we can.
That's a heck of a deal. And thank you for bringing that up. However it happened. Bringing that up, that's a good asset. Thank you.
Thank Joe for finding the guy that can do it.
Yeah.
All right, we need to, not that we need to do it this meeting, we need to still think about some reimbursement or repayment to Phil Hall in some sort of amount that is fair for his road work done. I have no idea about what's proposed there. I just want to leave it on the table and have board talk about to make that fair with him.
Okay. I have a question first, real quick. Anybody have the original minutes that we agreed to pay him?
Well, we never agreed to pay him out.
No,
the agreement was two assessments. No,
we never paid him. He sent a letter to us. Paul, what do you know about it? I know we talked about it yesterday.
The proposal was that the bank was going to come up with
something.
I don't even know if there was a dollar amount at the time, but it was close to half. And Bill all said, over the next 10, 15 years, I don't care.
And that's in his letter.
That's his letter proposal.
We never agreed to that. But
no,
I think we need to go on when we go on our film trip, that we need to go look at these things before we make that assessment. It's amazing.
I think
we need to look at his letter too.
Exactly.
I will email that back to everybody. I don't have it with me in my
office. I may have that.
And what the board agreed to or didn't agree to?
We didn't agree to anything. It's just
we never agreed to anything. In fact, we shot it down. But then we came back and said maybe.
Then at the election meeting, we stood up and talked about it and
we're going to open something here. What about Johnny Brown for the past 10 years? They've been doing their own road.
Yeah.
And we've never reimbursed them for anything.
We need to start keeping it fair.
We do. We can't just say, okay, we're going to take care of Phil. And then tell Johnny Brown, hey, you guys are on your own.
Right.
If I could add something, you know, there's been deals like this, you know, between Phil Hall, between, you know, Brent and some of the guys over there graveling their road, paying for it on their dime, Johnny Brown area doing things on their dime, you know, Dale doing a lot of work on his dime. You know, when somebody comes in and proposes, hey, I'm going to have this equipment come at $30,000 a week, and I'm going to crush this much rock, and a lot of it is going to go on ranch roads, and it's going to go on Meadow Canyon and Crawford, and there's going to be a surplus here for people to buy. I'm embarrassed as an employee of Deer Springs to say that the board made this agreement or didn't make the agreement and didn't follow through with it, but these issues where people put their own money in,
well,
and it's embarrassing as a business.
Like, from your point of view, I would say it is, but we're going to have to do this for the whole ranch.
Right.
I mean, if we made an agreement with Phil Hall, we need to follow through with it and pay him. If we didn't, we need to talk to him.
As a courtesy, we need to
get
something right.
I will get with
Hall and say, hey, we want to make that right. What is your number? What
could help here a whole bunch is at the beginning of this year, like now, we start making this road plan and deciding which areas get allocated, what funds for it, so that every area is taken care of fairly throughout the ranch, not every year, but like Johnny Brown and whatever road you call your road, get taken care of one year. Next year it's different. So everybody gets a fair.
That's exactly why you have a five-year plan.
Yeah, so that's what we need. So that the same
with the water. The water system's the same way. The cabins.
Hey, now all this is going to not be written because I'm trying to look for help. There's no way
I'm going to do it. I need to find out, or somebody needs to find out.
You know, an agreement could be also with Phil Hall. It's not only paying him maybe a percentage of what he's done, but we could also say we will also keep up the maintenance on his road for him at no cost.
Yeah, I got it right here.
That might work.
Just a thought. Maybe it's not worth it.
Here's what he requested.
Because if he has to keep paying it himself, then he's putting more money out. Then you can say, we'll keep topping it off, possibly.
That is not his road.
No, I mean, the road is
bad. DSRA is required or should maintain all the
roads.
That's right.
He might be okay with us, you know, maintaining it at a decent level that it is now, and he might take that as a payment.
Yeah, he can make that a final payment.
Yeah.
We'll
keep
that road.
I'd love to talk to him.
Here's what he had asked for. Now, keep in mind, too, he didn't come to the board ahead of time and say, I'm going to do this. Right. He's just going to do it and do it, and he did benefit a whole bunch of ranch members. And he went, well, could you help me out this way? And because of using the accident, I guess financially he could have used some help. But anyway, so he said, he spent approximately $63,000 He said, I would assume and absorb the cost for half the project for $31,500. He requested the board grant me credit for dues owed on lot 44 and 48 for amounts of years. And then the remaining $10,000 would pay me without interest over the next 5 years. Well, the credit for dues he had for over 20 years. But if we can do, I don't have any issue with putting something on there to pay him back a portion of this at no interest. I think that's really fair. Or if you talk to him and that's okay with maintaining his
loan. Again, the only problem with this is I know for a fact Johnny Brown every year puts thousands of dollars into the road. They're going to do the whole road this year. And they're going to do the whole road. It's 2.5, 3 miles they're going to do. So what, how do we it's going to be a hard thing to be fair. I think we need to talk serious to Phil and say, look, you know, this is going to open a can of worms big time. I mean, this is going
to
hurt.
To say nothing of everything that Dale does.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's exactly right. We need to repay Dale for the roads that he's done.
But this is why this came up, because we did reimburse Dale for the roads.
Right.
We did.
But that was Meadow Canyon.
And I thought that was perfectly fair. If we reimbursed him, we reimbursed Phil.
Part of what Dale
did. But we didn't. Did we agree to pay Dale? Yeah.
No.
Did we agree to pay? We didn't
not
agree
before,
to pay Dale?
Not before, yeah. After we did. No, we didn't. We agreed after.
Yeah. Did they agree? Did the board agree to pay you before you did the road?
Only
part of it.
Part of it? Yeah, only part of it.
Okay, we got to
be clear. That is not my room.
I know. I understand. I understand. But we need, when we enter an agreement with somebody, we have to do it. We have to dot all the I's.
And the roads that you want to go without are Phil or not Phil's roads either.
No.
Right.
It's the road that
is property. Same thing on both cases. One just got paid, one didn't get paid, so I just want to make something fair.
Yeah. Well, we need to take in consideration Slide Canyon and Johnny Brown. And Joe's road.
It's not my road either. It belongs
to the ranch.
But the thing is, we started a precedence with Brent, and they did the whole road up there. Then how much did we give Brent to do all that road? And McElroy. I mean, see, it's still the same thing.
They never asked for it. It wasn't anything. Right. Can't.
Well, I'll talk to Phil and see if I can't come to an agreement.
To get into an agreement.
What's that?
But for the ranch, to get into an agreement, or even if it was a verbal, or if it was, we don't have it now, but we could pay you with assessments or
we haven't said that.
Right.
I don't see how we can agree on
that.
I'll have a conversation with him and see what he'll. You know what? We can negotiate something out.
Art will.
I'll take care of it.
Okay.
He's a very reasonable man, and I know things will work out with him.
Let us know how that works.
Okay.
All right. So this year too, to keep on our track with invoicing. Again, I'm going to reiterate this. I said it before, but I'm going to say it again so we are understanding. We made it through last year with the $900 going into the new year because we didn't have to pay a lot of the ranch manager salary that we do now, because we didn't have to pay some things, because the budget was flexible enough and we had room in there enough that we did have leftovers. We will not have that this year. We are on the budget. We don't have wiggle room. So if something needs to change, like adding $2,000 to solar, then $2,000 has to come out of somewhere else. I want to be perfectly clear about that. We don't have wiggle room unless we take it from another category. So with that understood, when we have, we make a motion here and we decide something's going to be done, like the solars, when the solar cabin gets done, whoever does that project, the contractor that we hire submits the bill directly to Deer Springs Ranch. It doesn't go to Paul, and then Paul pays them, and then we reimburse Paul. It comes here. We want the invoices here. Linda wants the invoices to see them. I want the invoices to see them. And then someone that is, when the project is finished, whoever is in charge of that department or category needs to re-verify, okay, is it done up to our level? Is there something missing? Did he set the batteries up? Did we hire someone? We set the batteries up. There's no cables to link them. We want to make sure some board member or Paul can write off, or Linda, if she's at the ranch or whatever the project is, to check it off and make sure the job is good done before we pay it. And And yeah, this is how businesses work. And if we have a bill for fencing or cattle guards, and we have invoice for four cattle guards, I want Paul to know where all those four cattle guards are. So if he's not on the cattle guard project, and you're on the cattle guard project, then he counts those cattle guards and make sure that we have them back. If they're not all used, that we could count for everything, every piece of merchandise that we pay for. And then we know where it's at, and then we can keep it. Now, where we're going to come
back. That would be Paul's
shop. Usually that would be Paul's shop, yes. But I'm just making this open for whatever project. If it's linens and stuff.
I think where you're coming from is, you know, if there's a big fence project and somebody has hired somebody to do something, you know, did the ranch pay for wire and posts? And if there was extra wire and
where
posts,
is it? Yeah.
Where is that wire and post?
Yeah.
Or if it's a, you know, if.
So we could reuse that later
right.
for other projects. So those things I'm going to make rules accountable for. So
that's just good business.
Understand. Everybody understand. Don't be submitting, like, Dale, don't be paying me your money out of your pocket. Let them write an invoice to Deer Springs Ranch. We'll pay it. But don't pay out of your pocket because they're like, I'm going to have a war.
Or avoid problems in the future.
Yeah, avoid problems. Yeah. So I want to talk about that. Yeah, I'm done.
Well, I have a question as you're bringing that up. Is there a board member that's going to oversee the solar? Are they working with Vance Green? And
that would be him, because he's on cabin.
He is. Okay.
Well, and I don't know how much we're going to contract out. I think I'm just going to buy the materials.
Well, that's what Vance said. We do it ourselves.
And do it yourself. Right.
I don't see any reason why we can't do that. Just two of them. I mean, if we're doing all 10.
The only issue I might have is because those two cabins are still on the generator. You know, having a switch that automatically switches when the generator turns off and the power.
That's expensive solar.
That's expensive.
Way expensive.
It's just a switch.
You don't
have
one.
Yeah,
but
yeah, what happens?
The solar will have its own light.
Right.
Yeah. No,
I
can't use the intermittent lights that are there. You want to put the LED lights.
You better not put any LED lights.
Well,
it'll last
forever.
Well,
you
can buy
them
with. We can talk about that all day.
I
play
on my game.
You can buy them at Home Depot.
Yeah.
I've got a couple that take cost a penny and a half a year to run them on. You would never run the battery down in a million years of it. You could have 20 of them in there and still not run the battery down. Okay. You all done?
I'm done.
I think. Robert Allen. You're
well,
right on the floor.
I don't really have anything. I've been putting emails twice to hear from somebody that knows what my job's about and how to go about doing it.
You're doing it right there.
I know, but I need an email to know what I'm supposed to be doing.
I guess brainstorm.
You talked to Linda about reservations.
Brainstorm, common sense, just use it, whatever you come up with, we'll listen to it.
Yeah, I think your job is mainly when something comes up in that area that we need to do, but right now there's nothing up, right?
I think
right.
Brad's pretty much just taking care of the web development. And,
and there will be as we go on, but I don't think every month.
I don't think we need to scratch that.
In other words, I'll hear when there's something.
Yeah, you'll hear.
Oh, okay.
Under number 12, there's a new business on the back side of your paper. Where are you going?
Okay.
Are you there? Oh, okay.
I'm on the right side.
I don't think. Personally, this is just coming from me. I don't know if we need to bring this up. We could talk about this for months.
What?
The reunion.
Well, we do need to talk about it.
Well, I think between board meetings, I think between us, Nancy and I, and these guys, and you know, email back and forth through the board, I don't know if we need to talk about it.
We don't. The board doesn't need to talk about it.
Nope. First come, first
no, I think we do.
What?
There are logistics that we need to talk about, and we don't get emails back from Dale.
Well, why do we need to talk about
well,
it?
Well,
it's his family reunion.
Okay.
It's not a family reunion. It's large groups or any reunion.
Right.
What are your policies as a board? That's the key.
Right.
And it's not necessarily at Dale. Dale just happens to be right now.
I don't know if we need to hash out the catering and the extra fees and the travel.
Well, here's what we kind of did a little outline here of what we think needs to be talked about in this category, and I think Candy's right. We need to set some kind of plan for these types of events to, totally. Not just yours, but everyone that might come up over the years. We need to plan for, like, Paul and Nancy, not that this is going to cost extra fees for these people, but it's going to require extra trash trips to town, how you're going to do your trash. When you're looking at, we still need to get into the figure of how many people per cabin are going to be there, to know how many more trash cans we're going to put out there, how many more porta potties are we going to need out there, are you going to supply porta potties for the extra people, the extra linens that are going to be needed for the cabins that have more people, are they just bringing sleeping bags? These are things that we need to work out for not only his group, but all the groups.
Well, I would hope that they don't get overused. You know, a cabin that sleeps eight, I hope there would be 8 to 10 people in that cabin.
Well, that's not what the scheduling so far. So, Gail, that's the kind of stuff we're going to need from you or Patsy to know what you've got coming into each cabin. Oh, I got a list here. So on this list, the porta potties were a concern that we do need to talk about. The trash hauling.
Tonight, are we going to get into these things, or are we just going to go through the list again?
No, can we go
because
through?
My first question is going to be porta potties. You talked to someone on the ranch, Paul, that we're going to do a permanent one or something, the composting one near the pond.
We talked about that.
We haven't done anything about it.
We haven't done anything about it.
That's all that's
got. What I've talked about was, we paid, I forgot how much, 120% more than what we've normally, 120% more than what we've normally paid for porta potty up there this last year, which I chopped its head off right away when I found out. So I talked with Sandy Johnson, who owns a company still, and he is going to donate units for the ranch. I'm sure we could get a couple more units for the 3 or 4 days that are up there at a fairly reasonable price. But, as far as costs for, porta potties, this is all logistics that I think we can handle. We've had big groups up there. I don't think it's going to be any bigger as far as cabin usage than what we normally have there.
Well, it is
about
having 200 people, Paul.
They're
not
all
contained,
but a lot of them are
self-contained.
You're wasting your time while I'm talking about. We've had 4 big reunions up there in the last 40 years. Our people take care of themselves.
They all have a lot of property.
They'll be in motels here in town. They'll be in RVs. If you want to talk about something practical, then do a dump station.
Which we have by the
dump station at the lower end, the dump station at the top end, for everybody's use, instead of run it out on the ground, and it has to do with members, non-members, anybody else coming through there, really, there should be a dump station at both locations.
You need a dump station that actually works, or one that's just a holding tank? Somebody has to suck it out if it's a holding tank.
That's the decent thing to do. Don't worry about our reunion, but there should be.
Well,
dump stations.
But nobody wants to give any money to do it.
Ten years ago, we went through the same thing.
We have a dump station at headquarters.
There is a dump station.
There's a dump station there.
For RVs, there is.
Yes.
All around behind where they have that home now.
Okay, so we do have one dump station that's in place.
There is that headquarters.
And the other thing that could be brought up here would be a place to put RVs, someplace on the, we've talked about over and over again. And so, it's not, either we decide to do it or we don't, at least we get a price to figure out how we're going to do it or where it's going to do it. But that would be something else to use.
Paul and I walked the areas that he's looking at to put in these stuff at the spot, and he's going to have something writing for us.
I think, a half a dozen sites right there would take themselves at the end of the year.
On a landing strip or a pot?
Yep.
And then that would be something else that we would rent out?
Yeah.
Year round?
Would we put a septic system there too? Or
no, dump station.
So
you have to do a dump station.
They just pick up their vehicle and go down.
Most of the campers that come in have their, they just pull up to it.
How big is the septic tank at the dump?
I have no idea. I don't even know.
Yeah, we might run it the first time you unloaded it. Might.
We didn't know.
No, no, no.
Would we overfill it?
You have to have a 500 gallon.
It's pretty good ground there.
We don't have anything less than 500 gallons.
Okay, well, my question might be, if there's only one dump station, would it be advisable to have a truck come out and empty it before the big reheat just to make sure we don't have a problem? It's easier to empty it before it's full, awesome.
Yeah,
empty it when it's
fairly
low.
That's fairly inexpensive.
It's going to take a long time to fill that up with just dump.
Well, you know, first of all, septic tank is always full.
Yeah.
It's done right.
I know, but it goes to
the
next
line.
Yeah, well, okay.
As long as the five trailers don't come down and dump all at the same time.
They can still do that.
We need to figure out the condition.
Yeah, a 500 gallon hold, you know, a 4-bedroom house. People run it water all day long.
But a 500 gallon tank, if you ever empty, it's always full. But you're depending on the leach
field, and
the leach beds don't have 500 gallons available.
Well, we have a good ground down there, so that probably won't be.
Yeah, maybe I don't know what the system is.
Well, okay.
All I'm saying is, if it doesn't cost much to empty it, it might not be a bad idea to empty it before the. It's going to cost the same amount to empty it when it's overflow and a lot messier.
I doubt it's even as far as crystal clear water in here. I think Paul should just garden hose in there, see if it takes a couple hundred gallons of water. If it does take a couple hundred gallons of water, it'll be fine.
Then we're good.
Yeah. Check it out. Make sure the tanker is working.
Tied into the system on the store.
Yeah.
So.
It's already being used.
So it's already being used.
Well,
that's keeping
the roll changing. Well, so it's working.
Good. So we don't want to pump it out before?
No. No, because it would be wasting money.
So if I could suggest something, I don't know where the funds would come from, but I'm proposing putting in at least 5 to 6 sites along the airstrip there. All it's going to do is take a lot of time cutting the trees out and then, like, blading, you know, having Larry come through or somebody come through and rip out some things and kind of make a drive-through. Basically, the only cost is going to be a little bit of equipment time, some gravel, a park bench, you know, and I can build fire rings with rocks. But,
I was very impressed with the area. He's got it all mapped out. And it's,
so I'm just throwing it out there.
Bring us something that we can all look at, and we'll go from there.
And again, I need an estimate of cost because that money's going to have to come from another category.
Okay.
We have our own gravel, so it's just going to be time.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can do
that. Well, you can do that. Yeah. Okay. So another concern now, if he were to do those 5 strips there. We don't ever want to put a septic in there or
no,
a dump station
no.
there?
No, you don't want to get into that. That's way too expensive.
Okay. So if people start renting that space out, we'll just be told...
They know they have a dump station. They know they have a dump station.
Or 5 years from now, we decide that...
We'll put a dump station.
They're making money, yeah. We'll put a dump station where you fly it.
Well, and to go along with that, you're not very far from the water system. You can tie a line in and actually have some other water maker.
Yes.
Maybe.
That wouldn't be very expensive at all. Okay.
Hey, wait a minute.
You know, and just so you're aware, you know, we're trying to think of ideas for renting. It's going to cost just a little bit of money to kind of get it up. But you can go down to Glaciers right here on a Saturday and advertise these campsites. And people rent these motorhomes from Vegas. They're looking for a place to camp on the Grand Staircase.
And when you get people out there, that's another thing. There's a lot of land for sale out there. It'd be nice if... It would definitely benefit them.
It would benefit all of us.
Yeah, well, exactly. Exactly. You generate money. Okay. With a budget that's just really squeaking by.
Squeak.
I guess that's, we're down to old business and we've already dealt with that.
Okay, so it looks like, from my records, and this might be different depending on their porta potties. For every 200 people, you need 3 porta potties. Are you planning? It's about 200 people. Is that number about right?
Well, 200.
Yes, they have to take care of that.
They got the
normal.
Now, Paul, if you can get something donated for a couple of days, that'd be wonderful.
As far as
porta potties.
I
don't have one up there.
What we're trying to avoid is the $600 a year or $1,500 a year that it costs to maintain that one for a
while. I already have it.
Yeah, we're not. There's nothing different.
So, I already have it.
It will be serviced or won't be?
It will be serviced. They come up and camp all the time on the property. He said it wouldn't be a problem to come over there and do it.
So how much is it normally per year?
It's normally $300 or $400.
She's $80 a month.
Thank you. She saved us another $400.
Yeah,
she charged us almost $800 this last time.
That was cheap. And they're gonna trade out. They're gonna do one or two, you know.
Just one. Just the one.
One.
But you know, I think before the reunion, I'm gonna try and get him to, you know, bring in one or two more.
There should be ones out at the ranch house all the winter. You don't want to use the fund up there.
True.
And so I've had these left there that would go up behind the bushes.
But we do need, need a real
decent
one. Because you don't know if it's a self-contained, it has to be pumped, it has to be serviced. So it needs to be the old one that was behind the garden that's the real old-fashioned type.
Right.
So even come wintertime, it's not.
You know, but I was looking into putting compost in one of our properties.
You can still do it.
But the only drawback I ran into them, which is a big drawback from a lot of people, is the flies that they bring in. The compost. Yeah, but
if it's done right, the government ones out here, you'd never apply those ones.
If it's done right.
Composting one.
Yeah, that's over two different things. He's talking about this. They know that.
Right, we're going to allow those.
Even a double
seater.
And
you know,
I can build one.
You can't find those in
a
bucket.
I don't need the toilet seat. Okay.
I don't
want
to be
small
about
it. Yeah. Dale, could we somehow get the 97 minutes for June?
You want to come down?
I will. We'd love to. Done. Done. You ready to make a motion?
If I make a motion, I'm adjourned.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting's over and done with.